Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights are around the table, we dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When knights are around the table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazam the Terrible. All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Always looking to serve the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table. everybody. It's old crazy-haired King Shazizz the Terrible. This ought to be an interesting show. I smell a rat, and that's not all I smell. So anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizzradio.com. If you want to join in on our chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. Plus, at the bottom, there's a link underneath the scroll down underneath the chat rooms, and you'll see a link for People for People Radio. Go over there and join in with those folks and listen in as well. So, you know, there's this technology available today that maybe some people are aware of, but most people aren't. Everyone out there who owns a game platform knows that there's some really impressive digital technology now, to where the video games are almost getting lifelike. I mean, they're realistic looking. They get better every year, sometimes every month. But nonetheless, there's something to be said about that. You know, if you look back into the conspiracy world and you hear about all these things where people are calling presidents of the United States, or any place for that matter, puppets. Well, crazy as that may sound, you might very well be on to something. Because the technology that I'm talking about is digital technology that is quite literally capable of making somebody appear to be saying something that they never even said. It wasn't even the person. It wasn't even the person's voice. It was just scraps of digitized pieces of things that they had said in prior conversations, wherever. But the computers are getting pretty intense these days, where they can piece things together. And the graphics were... It doesn't matter how this person's turning their head or nothing, they can put a target on this person's face. And as this person's turning their face, these digital mouths are moving and in perfect synchronous to the words that are coming out of the digital AI's mouth. And if you sit there and watch how this process is actually done, it's mind-blowing, because you would swear up and down this person was really saying what it is that you're seeing saying. Now, years ago, I did a video called Warning to the World, and it was when we switched over from analog to digital TV. And because at that point in time, the graphics probably weren't as good, but they were pretty doggone good, and the green screen and chroma key technology was available, to where, you know, a lot of the mainstream medias were using this digital technology to fake interviews out in, you know, war zones and stuff like that. And every once in a while, something would go awry and somebody would catch a glimpse of the green screen behind them and see that they were faking certain events or whatever. And so it's not new to hear the term fake news, because fake news has been around for quite some time and has quite literally been a propaganda machine. And so now, with the computers getting as fast of processors as they have now, and the digital technology getting so amazing, you could quite literally from ground up build a person and do a video. You could have an entire movie with absolutely no real life actors. So, you know, maybe some of the people in Hollywood ought to get a bit nervous now, because they might be out of a job. Because someday, why pay an actor millions of dollars and you can just create the perfect actor, you know, with the perfect complexion, the perfect body proportions and everything. Something that no human could ever match up to, you know. And this actor could actually, with artificial intelligence, take on a life of its own and be able to just, you know, run around and do whatever, and you film it, and there you go, you got a movie. And so, the concern I had back when the digital TV and the analog switch was going was that it's not as easy to manipulate analog as it is to do digital. Digital, you can actually have a time delay where you have a little bit of time to change something. If somebody jumps out there on the TV and says, hey, you know, the government's corrupt and this is why I'm saying that, by the time they get through saying that, leave the studio, head on down home. By the time they get home, they're on their on the news saying, "Hey, you can always trust your government, boy. I tell you what, I love them so much; they're just wonderful individuals." Well, once again, I smell a rat. But that's not necessarily all I want to talk about today, because that's just one of the things that we need to be aware of in today's technology, with the today's world, with the news, and be able to, unless you know what you're looking for, unless you have a really good trained eye to see any kind of glitch in the system, you wouldn't even know that that wasn't really the person talking, that it was, digital animation or whatever. Because, believe me, they get it down to where you can actually see the skin colors and all the different tones in person's, face or whatever. Even add blemishes, maybe a zit if they want, you know. And so, you would swear up and down that this was real. Now, I'm not saying that everything out there is, digitized, craziness, but, because some of it, I'm sure, some of it's got to be real, but it's really hard to be discerning of what is real and what isn't real in a world that is almost quite literally getting ready to merge into the cyberspace, when reality and the Matrix meet, kind of thing. It's really disturbing. And so it would be really easy to manipulate somebody's mind, as in AKA mind control, to show them a video of some atrocities going on when in reality, it's not real. Now, I've seen some videos out there on YouTube on the internet that I knew for a fact, because I understand how digital technology works, I knew for a fact that these were definitely real. And they were very disturbing. But it wouldn't be much. It wouldn't be much of a difference between somebody digitizing that same scene and making it look so realistic. If you go watch movies these days and you see all these really cool effects, Superman or Space Wars or stuff like that, it wouldn't take much in between those two, reality and fiction. If you didn't know what you were looking for, you would think you was watching the real deal. And so that's just one of the layers on this, this thing that we're trying to find called truth. That's just one of the layers covering it up, If you don't pay attention, I mean really seriously keep your eyes wide open, you could find yourself being seriously deceived. Now, as far as yesterday, we did a broadcast which essentially was talking about what's going on with Syria and the potential of World War III. And, of course, I'm not saying that World War III is, like, inevitable or anything like that. I'm just saying that because of everything that was said on the mainstream media, because of what Russia's said, because of what the United States and all the representatives therein were saying, that and the mainstream media, that the potential of World War III was a possibility, not a guarantee, but a possibility, which concerns me, at any kind of, whether it is going to happen or it isn't going to happen, just the mere thought of World War III is, I'm sure everybody can relate. It's not a good idea. And so, with that said, y'all got to follow the money. You got to follow the money to find out what the heck is really going on. Why? What is the purpose? And even out of Trump's mouth is, what will we have to gain by going over there, changing regime, changing as they say it, going over there, changing governments to a sovereign country that we really don't have any constitutional business of even being in? I'm sure if there's a real atrocity going on and we need to try to stop it, I could understand that and I could support it if the evidence is on the table. And I don't mean just on the table for the generals and the news. I'm talking about where the average Joe, who is the one who's actually going to go fight these wars, can look this evidence over and determine whether or not it's true, fact, or fiction. That's the key right there. The choice is being made in your name without presenting evidence. That is the problem that I was trying to pretty much point out. We need to get down to the facts before we do something as drastic as going over bombing people. Now, either way, I'm not saying that this is or isn't whatever's going on over there, but you follow the money trail. What kind of purpose would anybody have for wanting to fight over pretty much a desert all over in the Middle East? I don't know. They seem to do okay over there. They got a large population, so it's not like it's not habitable, but quite literally, I wouldn't live there. It's too hot and probably sand fleas or whatever. I don't know. But if you start looking into things, you're going to find out something. Russia has an economy that is pretty much reliant for a large part of their economy on a gas pipeline that goes over into Europe. And it also has a want to run a pipeline through pretty much Syria and through the Middle East. And there's other companies out there involved in the situation who want their pipeline to be running over. And when we're talking about gas, we're talking about natural gas. We're not actually talking about crude oil, you know, which basically they're all one and the same. It's fumes off of one that make the other. But nonetheless, you got to ask the question, what do you have to gain? The money, follow the money. That's where you're going to find out what's really going on in any given situation. A lot of these skirmishes that's been going on over in the Middle East have absolutely nothing to do with oil. There are religious factors and factions and separations, separatists or whatever in just about so many of the different types of communities over there where they've been fighting for thousands of years over what they perceive to be the Holy Land. And so their war is not really the same war that we got going on. Now we might say we're going over there to stop atrocities from happening and certain other religious ones from being persecuted, which I can understand that to some extent, but once again, we have to be cautious before we rush in there and knowing how the information has been presented to us in the past. But prior to us ever even being there, the particular individuals in question been fighting for thousands of years. And then suddenly, you know, the oil market pops up, and now there's a whole different thing going on. It's not just them over there fighting over, you know, their holy land or religious beliefs. It's now has to do with resources. You know, we're fighting over oil when it's not necessary. There are better fuels than oil. There are more natural fuels than oil. And so for us to be fighting over anybody's oil for price-wise or monetary, you know, like right now, the United States isn't backed by gold. They call it the petrol dollar. And it's reliant on the price of oil and, you know, certain other factors in order to be able to keep our economy afloat, which isn't right. It's actually unconstitutional. We were supposed to only have paper money if it was backed by gold. And that you should be able to take that piece of paper into any Federal Reserve, which is no longer federal, belongs to doggone private bankers. And just yesterday I heard where it actually goes to, and I can't remember where the heck it is. It's a province of the United States, but it's not actually in the United States. Doggone, I can't remember. It'll come to me when I ain't thinking about it. But either way, the people in that particular area where all the money from the Federal Reserve is actually going to as far as banking-wise, they're not having a good time over there. They've probably got all the money in the world aimed at this direction, and they're not doing so well. So, I wish the heck I could remember what that name was. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. So you follow the money, and you end up finding out that all parties involved have an interest in a gas pipeline, and all parties have interest in a fuel pipeline, And the parties who were there prior to any of the resources that were available now weren't even fighting over oil. They were fighting over land and religious things, that holy land or whatever. Well, this used to be my land before you had it or whatever, and they treat each other poorly. It's plain and simple. I hate to say that, but that's the case. But anyway, so now the U.S. is involved in there, Russia's involved in there, Britain's involved in there, France is involved there, all of the Middle East is involved there, Israel's always involved there, and there's so many different things going on in so many different directions. And so with that said, and the information that I presented about I also posted a video in the chat room over there, Super Chat. It's called The Beast Rises, and the only reason why I posted it, there's other probably interesting stuff in there, I guess, but the only reason why I posted it is because you can actually see the one section where he shows how you can digitally manipulate somebody's face to make them seem to be saying something. You can make anybody say anything that they wanted and video it, put it out there on the news, and everybody who saw that would say, well, I saw the man say it. I saw him say it, so I know he said it. You know, and no matter what you tell them, oh, that wasn't even really him, and the heck, it wasn't really him. I watched it with my own two eyes. Well, it wasn't really him. It was digitized, and until you find the originals to prove that it was digitized, they ain't going to believe it. And chances are, even after you showed them that, they probably still wouldn't believe it, because they would think it was the opposite side trying to make it look like the other side was lying. You see what kind of scenario we got ourselves into? I'm telling you, folks, I smell a rat. Something ain't right here. There's a lot of stuff going on with the deep state, and hopefully that those individuals are, you know, the wise ones, and everything's going to come out fine. But you still can't close your eyes to the potential of the power structure on the other side, because they've been in business for a long time, and they know a lot of dirty tricks, one of which is making news up to on demand. I have these graphics artists go in there and do things that you would swear up and down were real. You know, did we go to the moon or didn't we go to the moon? I don't know. Some people said it was on a Hollywood movie set. They made scaled up models and they faked the whole deal. Well, you know, if they could fake that and fool the world, then they could fake anything and fool the world. So I guess we'll find out in the end what the truth of all the truth is, if there is any truth underneath all these layers of deception. If you don't want to be deceived, then you got to get that eagle eye going there. And you need to scrutinize every single thing that you see on there. And even as far as not just what you see, but what you hear. Because there's also technology available, which goes hand in hand with the video technology, to where you can quite literally take bits and pieces of people's years of conversation and make them say something. So you could actually hear old crazy-haired Shaziz saying something that you know for a fact from your years of experience of listening in to me talk that I wouldn't say. Now, I'm not like that, but that's neither here nor there. All you have to do is convince the majority of the people I did say it, or even insinuate that I said it, and now I'm guilty until proven innocent. And so we live in a world today where places like Facebook can sit there and record you through your devices off of your microphone. That's why everybody starts putting tape over the camera lens on their computers and laptops, because they've been told, and it's a fact, that when you sign your user agreement, they say they might take a peek at you once in a while. They're going to listen in. It's crazy. And so if over the years, while you're visiting with your family and talking on Skype and doing shows like this right here, they could compile a whole list of all the things that you've ever said and take out the pieces that they want, stitch them all together, put them with a video of you saying something that you never even said. Now you want to talk about Twilight Zone? That's Twilight Zone. But in the real world, it has real world implications for the living. You know, not the people of the Matrix. I mean, I guess visually it looked like they had a consequence, but physically out here in the real world, we got a consequence. There's people that, you know, you say certain words to people about, you know, another individual, they never look at that individual the same because, yeah, I always thought that guy was kind of strange, you know. Maybe he really did do it, you know, before it's all too, before it's all said and done. It's kind of like if you go back to the scene of the witch burnings back in the day. If somebody did something that even remotely appeared to be like magic or witchcraft, you know, if I come back here with a Bic lighter and I hit that flame up there, they'd swear up and down I was a witch. Which they didn't know the science. I had a flint and a pressurized butane inside there, and so I was able to use what nature provided to make me a fire, you know. No, it's witchcraft. Burn him at the stake, and use his Bic lighter to do it. That's what I'm saying. Tell me you don't smell a rat, anybody. So, Barbara, you still around after that ramble?
Hey there. Well, good morning. This is becoming a habit.
Yeah, it is. It's a good habit, though.
Oh, it's a good habit. Yeah, you know, trying to put all this stuff together can be a nightmare. You have to know how to disconnect, I suppose I'd say, you know, not carry it to bed with you, right? Like you go to work and then you come home and you got to leave it all behind, right?
Well, there's a plus behind all this because now I woke up with the realization that I ain't going to get stressed out over everything going on in the world because I don't even know if it's real. So I'm going to mellow out, man.
Exactly. Well, you know, that's a good perspective to take, I think. And I think we have to, like we talked about yesterday, we can't, you know, drop off the cliff or jump out the window until we do get more facts.
Yep.
And then you think you have some facts, and then there's more beyond that. I mean, it's, I guess we're in such an amazing time here because this is all coming to a head, I think, you know. It's like, because how aware are we of all this mess now, more so than we've ever been? I mean, you kind of had an idea, you know, you read about something's happening over there and in some other country. The Middle East, you know, seems to be a hotbed for, I guess, its own insanity. And I just think of the people, because this is thousands of years of war over there.
Yep.
And I just think of the people and all, excuse me, I'm a little froggy this morning, talking to you.
Get
too much.
get you a bit of honey and a drink of coffee.
Honey and coffee? Yuck.
Yeah, that honey will coat the back of your neck and give that little tickle away that you won't have to worry about.
Okay. It's you know, good. We have things like poverty, financial crisis, climate change, global warming, environmental issues, racism, world military spending, foreign aid, poverty around the world, women's rights, men's rights. I'm going to throw those in there too. You know, we have in the Middle East a 1,300-year struggle for control of resources, right?
Yep.
But before oil was discovered there, you know, there was still the region was a hotbed for religious conflict and wars over other rich resources and land. I mean, this goes back so far, and there's still, I mean, think of it. Those people, the common people, families and so on, have lived for generation and generation and generations of conflict and war and lies and manipulation, and it's just unbelievable. And now, of course, I mean, that was before the United States got thoroughly involved over there, and then you have the United States aspect of the controllers or deep staters or corporate warmongers. I mean, it's just pretty unbelievable and stunning, and how do you keep your head on straight? But I just feel that today, because of the internet, we have more access to this whole mess in the world, right? So I suppose, you know, I suppose in a way that's a good thing. And then, of course, it could be a bad thing, depending on how you deal with what you're finding out. You know, this is the whole piece, you know. But I think that... and I forgot the prophecy and religious, you know, prophecies coming. It's a lot, a big web, right, of stuff that we're dealing with. And there are rats.
Yeah.
I don't blame the rat, you know, the real rats, the... You know, those little innocent creatures. Not that I like them around, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I guess you'd say...
The two-legged rats.
What? The two-legged rats.
Yeah, those are the ones you got to watch out for, the two-legged rats.
I guess I'd look at this picture as there have always been rats, human rats, that are really dark people, evil people, manipulative people, liars, and so on and so forth. Greedy, you know. But now we see the extent of it throughout history and how we, the United States, you know, the good guys, I say the good guys, and whoa, surprise, surprise. Yeah, once you start to find out the history of your own country, you know, looking behind the curtain and behind the scenes and all this stuff, once you start seeing that, you know, I guess first you go through this stunning moment of shock and awe.
Yeah. Which group was it that said, he who live in glass house should not throw stones?
Who was that?
Oh, I can't even remember. But
who said that? But it's true.
Yeah.
You know,
so before we start cleaning up somebody else's backyard, we probably ought to work on ours, right?
I wonder if... I mean, we cannot be separate... the world today, we can't ignore or disconnect from what's happening in the world today, unfortunately.
Well, you're right, that's true.
And so, I guess, you know, you have to know how to deal with it individually or collectively as your community or your family or your tribal people, you know. You have to, I guess, figure out how to deal with this, because this has been going on for millennia, for centuries, and now we are all embroiled in this world conflict. You know, whether it's a world conflict about is there global warming, world conflict about, you know, GMOs, chemtrails, the Middle East, Russia, you know, we're all embroiled in this mess, and we're all arguing with each other.
Yep.
That's the other part, right?
Yep. Now, one of the key things that got me to really seriously thinking about some of the stuff we talked about yesterday was, from what I can see from all the alternative and the mainstream media, that Russia didn't even flinch when this episode with the bombing of these supposed places took place. And the there's some other people out there saying that the buildings or whatever that they bombed, they weren't of any value anyway. And so it was like a show. And
well, yeah, go ahead.
What I was trying to get at is that, you know, it's like the most important issue of this entire thing is to get the public's opinion lean towards a certain direction.
That's correct.
And it the ultimate goal is who's going to be in control of where this pipeline goes and where it doesn't go. Like, you know, for instance, right now, if Russia's major economy is reliant on a gas pipeline going into Europe could shut it off at any time and say, we're not going to buy your gas, we'll just buy it from somebody else, which would hurt their economy terribly. And or they could actually destroy it, you know. They could blow up the pipeline, and there you go. So I'm thinking, it's kind of like you know, playing cards. You're gonna bluff when you can, and you're gonna have to hold at certain points because you know the consequences of if you retaliate and sink a ship, that they might blow up your pipeline, which wipes out your community, and then over so many period of time that you can't even afford to fly your airplanes anymore because you can't afford the fuel, you know? And so a lot of this stuff that I hear on there is more and more seeming like saber rattling, you know? Like the whole nuclear thing. Nobody wants a nuclear war, but if it ever came down to it, it'd be a terrible thing. But nobody...
Well, it only takes one crazier person.
Yep.
One crazier person, and that... So far, they're not that... They haven't reached that point. It may be somebody in the future who's going to come on. Everybody thought, oh, Kim Jong-un, he's the one. No, because there's something that happened there that we're not really privy to, but that's going to come out.
Kim Jong, though, his rockets are squirrely. He can't get them to go straight.
Well, that's true, but wasn't the mainstream media freaking everybody out about that,
oh,
right?
Yeah. And that was what was in Jericho. They blamed it on North Korea for
That's correct.
Bombing
they blamed
the
it
cities.
On North Korea. Well, there we were in that, and that was like 2009 that movie came out.
Yep. But so that I just was the narrative that they were trying to push, and just ironically enough, they had a video series out about it. So basically, it's almost like you want to get the people comfortable with the thought that this could potentially be a reality someday. You know?
Well, you want to get them comfortable with the thought, but psychologically, this is a psychological warfare we're dealing with, people. It's spiritual, psychological warfare. So when they show movies, for instance, and they're telling you like it is, people don't really, on some level, they don't really get it, that this is a message.
Yeah, but they think it's entertainment, but it's in reality, it's not. It's basically
Well, they're giving you messages, and there is some kind of, I don't know, some kind of, I guess I'd say a code law, a law that they have to, they, meaning the deep state or those in control, have to tell us the truth, but the way they tell us the truth is through a sci-fi movie. So,
well, I got a point for that. It's actually a legal deal that, like, if your government gets ready to do something, like they're gonna, you know, for the better, they're gonna take this one piece of land and use like an eminent domain, and they're gonna take this piece of land. Well, they have to put a notice out to the public, and it doesn't have to be in every single newspaper. They just have to put it out to the public. So they'll find some little tiny newspaper in some small town and put it in there. They've just notified the public that this is their intention, and if nobody calls back in to try to counter it, then it's implied consent, and so it actually takes place after that.
Well, they do that with a documents that you sign or agreements that you sign. Read the small print, right?
Yeah.
Or on the back of the newspaper page, sometimes it's the most important information. It's just a tiny little blur, but people don't read it. They want the headlines. Screaming headlines are where they go, right?
Yeah, so you put a headline up of something crazy, and that's where everybody's eyes go to, and nobody's paying attention to the fine print.
Exactly. The same thing with, pesticide spraying. You know, they have to warn the people before they spray pesticide in your neighborhood, but you know what? They don't do it.
No, if they
do. Or they may do it, like I said, in, some little blurb on the back of a newspaper.
Yep.
But, just speaking about Russia, you made that statement that Russia just, didn't budge. So here's something for you. Here's something out of a movie. But we have to go there because, as we know, movies tell us things, right?
Yep.
So people said, well, Russia backed off. Well, Russia did back off. Why did Russia back off? Because guess what? Don't you remember the big headlines that Trump's tweet said, how horrible the chemical thing was upon the people of Assad, and said to Russia that, they're bad to align themselves with a murderer like Assad, and I'm sending, be prepared, and I'm paraphrasing, be prepared, I'm going to be sending bombs.
Yeah, missiles are coming, what he said.
What?
He said the missiles are coming.
And they're smart.
Yeah.
And they're smart. Now, smart bombs mean they're specifically... have the capability of not of a direct.
They aim themselves.
Pardon?
They aim themselves on a target.
They do well. Yeah. They aim themselves with precise but minimal effect.
They also
or damage.
They also have some that that when they call it painting a target, that they'll actually have a man on the ground and he'll fire a laser at the target that they want to hit from miles away, and brain inside the missile will follow that laser beam right to the dot.
Yeah, exactly. So Trump gave Putin and Assad a very clear message. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, call up your enemies and say, in 24 hours or 48 hours, I'm coming, and you better, if you want, you can move out. You can step aside. Or not.
Yeah.
Right?
That's pretty much what he said.
So this is basically why he tweeted that, and all the world went berserk and whatever, but that was a message, a direct message to Putin and Assad. And in fact, Russia did retreat. They did pull back. So, and the direct hit on, you know, supposedly a chemical factory or whatever, that's one piece. Did that happen? Well, there were missiles there. They did show us pictures of this factory. Were there chemicals there? We don't know for sure. Who did the chemical drop on their people? Did that happen? Truth or lie? We're leaning more towards that it did not, that it was a setup, because Trump said, like a day or two before, he said, I'm pulling my troops out of Syria, and boom, the chemical drop happens to pull him back in.
Yep.
Because he really is a person who, and as we all are, who is appalled and horrified to see so-called photos of children foaming at the mouth and so on and so forth. Again, it was said that this did not happen even by people there. So there's something going on that is at work here behind the scenes, I feel, and we're looking at this, to bring Trump back to Syria, okay, because Assad doesn't want to be bombed. He doesn't want the U.S. in there messing with him.
No, they said he was winning his little war over there, and so with that said, why would he want, after the U.S. said they were leaving anyway, well, all he had to do is wait the U.S. out, and then everything would be fine. But
exactly. So you have, that's a piece you have to look at. And so the other thing I found interesting, and I mentioned this yesterday, was that Israel, the day after the supposed chemical attack on Assad's people, they bombed Assad, a base there, in Syria, directing their hit upon a compound, an Iranian compound. Now, when the investigators went in after all this happened, they said that due to Israel bombing that area, that their investigation was compromised. That rings a bell for me. That rings a red flag for me. Why suddenly does Israel take it upon themselves, an act of war, to bomb Syria, okay, but direct its hit upon Iran, and then messes up the investigation about the chemicals?
Yeah, that's...
So you got to look at this. You have to be like a detective, excuse me, and look at all these things. So my feeling is Israel is a big player here in this supposed chemical drop. Did they do it deliberately so that they're trying to eliminate Syria and Syria's, they want control over that area. They're trying to eliminate Assad. They're trying to eliminate, those people there. Certainly Iran is one of their big enemies, as is Assad. So you have to question, why suddenly did Israel throw bombs over there and then that compromised? Was it deliberately to compromise the investigation about the chemicals? Now, if everybody's all upset as humanitarians and Netanyahu and Israel should be upset about the children there, and the innocent children there and people having chemicals dumped upon them and dying, why would they suddenly jump in and bomb a base that happens to be held by Iranians, and then he, you'd know that that would mess up the investigation. How can you then tell?
Well, yeah.
Were there, you know?
That's another key point, is there's so much chaos over there. How would you know, how would you even be able to investigate? You know, you go around and ask everybody, everybody's going to have a different story. You know, you and
well, I suppose you could say they send in forensics investigators and to even see if there were chemicals, even see what was done.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just looking
kind of
at...
That's what I was getting ready to say, but...
that's true.
You and I would be looking for physical signs of something that, you know, looked like it was out of place or something like that, but I don't know. These supposed experts that go in there... You know,
so the mainstream media did a big hoo-ha on World War III, now World War III bombs, you know, nuclear, blah, 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 this is it, World War III. Well, it's not World War III. Did you wake up today? Was World War III declared? No.
Well, that's another reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, because, like I said, Russia didn't even flinch, all right? They didn't say, oh, we warned you, you know, and try to do anything, and so
well,
I'm
they
like,
did. He did say, if you strike Syria, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to do that. And so-and-so said, well, we're going to do that. A bunch of sable rattling, like you say. But then I do feel this is it. If I figured it out last night, it came to me. Wait a second. That was like calling up an ally or somebody that you don't want involved to say, look, you know, I mean, this is pretty, it's pretty far-fetched, but yet it's possible. Anything is possible. That he called them up and he said, but he really did it over his tweet. I'm coming, back off. I'm giving you the warning so you can back off. All right? And of course, they chose to back off.
Yeah. And something else that I saw in that video that I posted down there was there was a point when old George Bush Jr. was basically joking about how they didn't find no weapons over there in Iraq, weapons of mass destruction, and you know, saying stuff like, where are
Oops.
The weapons, you know
Oops.
Kind of,
yeah.
Kind of laughing about it, but once again, I don't even know if that was really George Bush Jr., because with the digital technology, and there are actually people in this world who look...
There's
Saddam Hussein had people that were like body doubles, and they say even Hitler had body doubles. So it's you got to be careful, you know. I ain't saying Bush is a nice guy or nothing, because at some point he talked like an idiot, but maybe he really was, or maybe it was just all part of the show. But
The point of his axis of evil and war on terrorism basically was a plan.
Yeah.
A very precise plan to put us in deeper, you know, messing.
When the news came out about how they had already pre-planned that there was a memo in this intelligence service that said that at certain time frames, they were going to go into Iraq, they were going to go into Iran, they were going to go into Syria. We're at the Syria point now, but they listed out all these places that they were going to go into before we ever even got to the stage where we're at right now.
Oh, yeah, there's that plan. But here's the thing about Syria. there were the smart missiles, whatever, that did their job. It wasn't a war. It's not World War III. But now you have, that was done, and it was done quickly, over. And here, these are the words, paraphrasing, but these are the words of QAnon, this close link to Trump and certain Pentagon people, that Iran is next.
Yeah, well, that's right on schedule.
That's where it's left. Now, as far as what that really means, we have to just keep posted to the information, because it will come through. But so that job was done as far as the you know, the peace with Syria and Assad, and Russia backing off, who was rattling his saber. And I kind of think, I don't know, I'm going to say it's a bizarre thing, but could it be possible that there's a deeper connection here? We know right off the bat, everybody was screaming about Trump's determination to be sort of like a buddy-buddy with Putin, right?
Yep.
I mean, so this, even though they do their saber-rattling and they're this and they're that and they're threats and they're dancing around the barnyard stuff, even though they do that, I feel there's something deeper going on here that we're not privy to because... Okay, let's look at the One World Order. The deep state is connected to achieving this One World Order. The One World Order and the actual Third World War would have occurred if Hillary was put in. That was their plan. So now Hillary's not put in, was not voted in. Of course, they made a big hoo-ha that was all manipulated and Russia was involved in getting Trump, which now, by the way, after 18 months or I don't know how long, they haven't found any proof of that.
No, and he's supposedly colluding, but now he's like supposedly threatening them, you know, basically with, you know, war, you know, don't mess with us, that kind of stuff. So how are you going to collude and basically threaten somebody at the same exact time? I mean, you can't really get cooperation when you're telling somebody, don't mess with me or something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like a magician, a sleight of hand kind of thing. You know, they're playing games, but yeah. They have to, but there's sort of like rules to a game, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, so the big picture here is we've known about the push for one world order. We've known what that is, complete control, one world order. One world religion, okay, the domination of the world and so on, Agenda 21 / Agenda 30, and we're throwing all this stuff out here, and I don't know if people who are listening even know what we're talking about, but, you know, you have to do the research to get some kind of clarity. I don't have all of it, but I do have a different perspective because you know, I do the research, and along with Patty and so on. So you have the One World Order faction, you know, the deep state, which it appears now is, there's a whole list of people, but it's really the most known ones are, started with the Elder Bush, then the Bush Jr., and then Cheney, and then you have Clinton, and you have Obama, and so on, and all their factions. Deep staters, but there's also those that are controlling them, which are the, you know, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergs, the big money people, like you say, follow the money, you know, the bankers, the Rothschilds, and you have all of that, okay? They want complete control, and they've been working towards that for many years. And Russia, Putin, does not want to be controlled by one world order. He wants his own territory, and he wants his own control. Same thing with China.
Yep.
So now you have this threat of, pending threat of the deep state, and Putin's aware of that, and you have Trump coming in who's very aware of it, telling us that the government is corrupt, and, you know, sending out all these indictments, and various people are dropping out like flies because they're under indictment. People don't know that. But they are under indictment, and when is this all going to come out? When is the curtain going to drop on that? They have to set everything up in place. They have to have certain things in place before this is all disclosed, because people keep saying, well, when is this going to happen, and when is that going to happen? So this game board, you put your men in positions, or your knights and your whatever they are, your kings, your queens, your knights and everything, pawns, everybody's pawns, so you put them all in place on this board, and you're playing this game, and you have all this world game, really. It's like a world board. You have to have certain things in place if you want to take down a deep state that has been embedded in this country and the world for centuries.
Well, with that said, on the pawns portion of the deal, this would be the perfect time right now for all the researchers to get out there and start looking up which ships are in the area, which of the Navy vessels, or even as far as that goes, British vessels that might be in the area where this is going on, and look into if any of those ships out there are scheduled to be decommissioned. If one single ship out there is scheduled to be decommissioned, you want to keep your eye on that, because if like, let's say they wanted to go into Iran, perfect scenario to go into Iran would be that Iran, because of what supposedly went on in Syria and what Israel may have done, would attack that and sink that ship. So, you know, the whole false flag thing would come into play. You sink a Navy vessel of any one of the allies there, that's grounds for war, okay? And so they're not going to put their brand new ship out there and use it for a red flag. They're going to, a false flag. They're going to put one that's getting ready to be decommissioned anyway. So, hey, we're just going to get rid of it anyway. So we'll scuttle it to the bottom and say they killed all these sailors and such. You see what I'm saying?
Well, they had these World War II bombers,
yeah.
Right? I mean, but we're looking at the U.S., U.K., and France. You know, but you're talking about specific ships. What's the ships were called?
Yeah, there's a site out there. I can't remember the actual place, but you can actually go find out which ships are scheduled for decommission at certain dates. And if you see one that's like scheduled for decommission in a few months or, you know, so like that, and it's out there in the area anyway, I would keep an eye on that one, because if the coincidence of this particular ship being the one sunk, you see what I mean? That's the one.
Yeah.
That you put your pawns out in front so that they get attacked before your kings and all that. That's how you play chess. You know, your pawns are pawns for a reason. And that's why people are pawns. Because the government puts the people out there on the battlefield, and the kings and queens send their knights and bishops in to attack the pawns, and then try to get them from the other side, flank them or whatever.
Right.
That's how that works.
Yeah. So yeah, like they're not going to send their best into something that isn't is significant.
Yep. And the mere fact that Russia didn't even really flinch and they didn't come back talking real harsh or anything like that, you know.
There wasn't a peep from Russia.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be no serious retaliation. Maybe he knew about it all along and wasn't worried about it, you know, because they didn't necessarily attack Russia directly, and that wouldn't give them justification if they didn't attack Russia. You know, they are attacking one of Russia's allies, which would give them some justification, but not nearly as much as if you blew a bunch of their soldiers or planes up.
Well, so let's say that because he isn't doing that, because there wasn't any peep or headlines from, not that I've seen anyway, after this happened, you know, Putin isn't screaming his head off and threatening and continuing to rattle his sabers and so on. It seems like all's quiet in the neighborhood, right?
Well, that could be a dangerous thing, too, because, like Trump keeps saying, the quiet before the storm, you know? And
But that's a message about this controlled faction or this plan, you know?
Yeah.
So, the storm, I think, is about what's coming still. The quiet before the storm refers to something else. I think it's about the disclosure, okay, about what's the disclosure that's coming, and if it does come, I hope it does come, because although it will stun and shock people and probably the world and most of them, and maybe it won't some, but because he's saying that, and incrementally they are taking down certain factions of the deep state, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And people don't realize this, because you'll never see this on mainstream media. Because mainstream media is owned by, you know, a few dirty dealers who are deep state. So they're all completely owned. That's why when Trump said during his, when he was running and he said that the mainstream media is fake news, I sat up.
Yes,
I took notice.
They are fake news.
Because they are fake news, but for a, you know, a prospective president of the United States to say that, wow, I was like, I'm sitting up here and paying attention to this guy, you know?
That's one of the reasons why he resonated with so many of the average citizens, because they weren't believing half the propaganda anyway. It got to the point where he knew if he said it as well, he'd get a lot of people backing him up, because we've been shouting out against the mainstream media lying and propagandizing. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's actually a deal from the Supreme Court that said that they were able to lie and propagandize.
Yeah. So Trump is knowing this right off the bat. Okay, Trump, supposedly from Dr. Jerome Gorsi, that Trump was approached by certain factions in the Pentagon. You know, and this is what has been said, because you have to question, okay, why Trump? Why this man, Donald Trump? He's a businessman. Apparently he's a wheeler dealer businessman, right?
Yeah.
And in order for his businesses to continue, you know, he needs certain things, just like we all do, you know. And if you know that there's a faction in the country that you're dealing with and living with, and that your businesses are in or you're involved in, that there are dark people in there, and they're going to basically heading everyone for a complete total control of who you are, what you are allowed or not allowed to do, and so on.
Yeah.
And we know that they've been incrementally doing that with all of us. But here's a man who likes having complete control, right? And who, let's say, out of the blue, I guess he's been being watched, like we're all being watched, but he specifically was brought in by some people in the Pentagon. This is according to Dr. Jerome Gorsi, who's involved in this whole picture here.
Yeah.
And they told him what was going on. They informed him about this issue of the deep state and the controllers and their plan. And, you know, it's like if somebody came to me in my house and said, you know, down across the street, down over there, they've got this plan that is going to ruin your business. What are you going to do?
You hit on a key there, too. I'm constantly hearing things about the economy going to crash. The economy is going to crash. I don't think so. And the reason why I say that is because why they got all this funny money system going on right now, why would they want to crash their economy? Because everyone out there who's on paper, like stocks and bonds and all that, they would lose their shirt.
But wait, you have to look at who they are that want to crash the economy.
Yeah, the only ones that would want to crash the economy would be those who had stockpiled gold and hard assets all these years. Those are the only ones that would want to do that, but
follow the money.
Yeah, but
Does
Trump have assets like gold and silver and hard assets and stuff like that? Who knows?
Yeah, well, who knows? I don't know. We don't know that. I suppose we could find that out in some way. I don't know. We can't even find out what his taxes are. But to the point I'm trying to make is, and this is a possibility, okay? I'm just phrasing a possibility here. There is a fact given out here by Dr. Jerome Gorsi that he disclosed this, that Trump was, approached by certain factions within the Pentagon. And these are people in the Pentagon that are basically working with Trump, who have all this information on the deep state and on the manipulators, on the dirty dealings for a long time, you know, and they figured this guy could possibly do this, you know, with their help. I think because all the other politicians have been bought and sold again and again, and Trump was never a politician on that level, and he said it right off the bat, nobody owns me.
That's right, and that's one of the other reasons why I liked him, because he's rich and he can't easily be bought off.
Well, that's what he said. He said, nobody can buy me, nobody owns me, and that was a deliberate message to you-know-whos.
Yep. Well,
I know you-know-whos is not correct grammatically, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but the whole thing about crashing the economy, I don't see them wanting to do that, because, number one, the biggest deal that you got to do right now, if you want to keep people in control, is to make them believe that they have a future. And if the average Joe starts losing his doggone Well, even the Social Security has an average Joe.
Well, they're already picking away at that.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, let's just say you go out there one day and everybody in the United States who has a bank account is now flat broke. All right. Well, during the Great Depression, there were some people that were really not happy.
Well, my question is, okay, again, as I've been doing this deep diving into rabbit holes and finding out these things now for a couple of years, everything that is a problem or problematic or turns out to be a manipulative circumstance or situation of our lives is fed by the deep state.
Yep.
Okay, so that's what we're looking at. So the big problem of a collapse would be fueled and manipulated by the deep state. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything we're dealing with. So now you have Trump coming in, who is a businessman, okay, who says he loves America and wants to make America great again, and some of the things he's doing, I kind of question about making America great again. I do, but what I'm looking at in this whole other faction that he's dealing with, what's going on in these other countries, I'm going to say, because I feel like, well, the policies he's signing to put out in reference to the environment are really, they really suck. You know, they're damaging, okay? So I question that about, where is this man's head, you know? He's a corporate guy, you have to keep in that, you know, so he's not going to say, yeah, let's not dig for oil, you know, because he has stocks in oil. Let's not dig for oil. Let's let the bear's ears land remain forever free and blah blah blah. And let's remove the pipeline that goes through Standing Rock, the aquifer there that, you know, that feeds millions of people. No, let's not do that. No, he did the opposite, and so that riled up a lot of us, right? And then he continued with policies and so on, disbanding, rule law against polluting companies that pollute, and he's taking down all these things. So I'm saying, you know, what's with this guy? But I'm also seeing this part, and I don't know if this is real, but I'm just looking for things. So the fact that right now he's embroiled, deeply embroiled with the deep state and trying to disband this mess, that's his focus right now. You know, it's sort of like, it's a huge focus. I mean, he's trying to clean the swamp, and he incrementally is doing it. People don't know that, but it appears that he is, well, if you do the research.
Part of that swamp is actually the Senate and the Congress, because here you got a Republican president, a majority Republican Senate, a majority Republican Congress that all basically ran on the platform of quote, making America great again, and, working for the people in smaller government. But every single time you see the quite opposite of making it smaller, it always ends up getting bigger, and we always end up getting in a larger debt according to the national debt and all that kind of stuff. The debt clock would make you dizzy. But nonetheless, these folks out there, they're not trying to make anything better. Every time they pass a bill, there's something in that bill that they want, and so they'll let something that they don't supposedly want slide so they can get what they do want. And it's just money changing hands in every doggone direction. And plus, those that are compromised with, videos of them with the wrong person when they're married, or, you know, had done something, corrupt or illegal, they just keep their mouth shut and go with the flow so that they can keep their, cushy little job and stay out of jail. So the way that the senators and the congressmen and Washington, D.C. is ran is basically like some sort of bad scene out of a mob movie, you know? You go there as a probably, you intended on being honest. When you got there, they found the dirt on you, or they bribed you. They found your weakness, suckered you in. And so now everybody's aggravated because it looks like the doggone Republicans are quite literally sabotaging themselves and their re-election chance. So they'll get what they want while they're in there, and who cares whether the Democrats get in after them, because they already got what they want. You see what I mean?
Right. Well, so here's a piece from November 29th, 2017. Trump embraces deep state conspiracy theory. This was on CNN. This is mainstream media, CNN. Trump embraces deep state conspiracy theory. Now, when we hear those words, deep state, or even just conspiracy theory, right away people's minds go to nutcases.
Yep.
Right? That's been the training. That's been the brainwashing. So you start off here, this man's gonna, you know, running for president, and he's a nutcase because he embraces this conspiracy theory, right? Now, it says here he still believes it all, according to a stunning New York Times report. He believes that Barack Obama's birth certificate. Now, that was a really wackadoodle thing, but you know what? People are going to find out something that is going to really shock them. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just making this little statement here. Now, he believes that he was being cheated out of the popular vote. And each of the conspiracy theories that President Donald Trump has pushed still harbors in private conversations with senators and aides, which also suggests he questions whether it's his own voice even on that Access Hollywood tape.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Now, isn't that a technology that we've been talking about?
That's what we're saying. You know, Trump might even hear the voice and say, it sounds like me, but I don't remember ever saying nothing like that. Oh, man, I'm telling you, this is a rabbit hole of all rabbit holes that we're living in.
CNN, remember CNN is the deep state, and they say Trump, however, now officially pushing a more sinister conspiracy theory, the so-called deep state. The idea that an entrenched bureaucracy is working to delegitimize him. And you know what? They have been, and there is proof of that. Read the FISA documents.
Yep.
And, hello?
And how is it a family who has a track record of so many criminal activities never ends up getting prosecuted? I mean, if you follow the Clinton history back as far as all the way to Mena, Arkansas, you'll find stories about the Clintons that blow your doors off. These folks were into all kinds of stuff, and everyone who usually come up against them usually ended up in plane crashes or car wrecks or, you know, suicided or whatever, and it never ever comes back on the people involved. And all the different things from their charities that there were things going on. What's that country over there in Africa? They sent a bunch of aid supposedly going over there to these people, and the contracts to rebuild this place over there ended up going to companies that were friends with the Clintons. You see what I mean? And so there's tons of stuff. All the email scandal and everything like that, that don't even scratch the surface of the crud that was going on. And Mr. Clinton over there having a party in the White House, you know, on the taxpayer's dime. You know, this is all ridiculousness, but none of these folks at the top ever seem to, you know, if it was any one of us, we get caught jaywalking, man. We're going to get a ticket, and if we don't pay that ticket, we're going to jail. You know, anybody else, it's like two sets of laws, those for the elite and those for the citizens. You know, that's why I like these doggone First Amendment auditors and Second Amendment protesters, is that they go out there and they test the waters to see how their governments are going to respond. And I can't tell you how many police officers I keep hearing saying they don't care about the Constitution. They don't want to hear about it or whatever. Oh, you're one of those constitutionalists. Well, yeah, you should be too. You swore an oath to protect it. Yeah, so there's the two separate laws, and you've got enforcers. I was just doing my job. Well, sure, you was just doing your job, but is it constitutionally legal for what you were doing? Violating somebody's civil rights? I don't think so. You know, putting somebody in handcuffs and because they're out there, you know, exercising their rights just to see whether or not you're going to allow them to exercise their rights without, you know, causing them any harm. We live in a crazy world, man.
Well, I mean, it's the things that you read with from mainstream media. You see the expletives they use and pushing the crazy crazies and that's impossible. Yep. But if you really go into other factions, there's proof and you see, you know, that this is more likely possible. You know, I mean, I know that we've known it. That's why I sat up when he said, when he mentioned this during his, you know, his speeches,
yeah,
when he was running, I was like, wait a second, who is this guy? I don't particularly like him, because after all, you know, I don't know who he is, and the so-called mainstream media is already attacking him, so we're all subjected to that. And until we found out that, wait a second, there is that deep state, and they are doing this deliberately, and there are some things about this guy that he's right on the money about. But now I'm looking at the bigger picture here. I do say that there is something that is coming that will be pretty shocking to people, and I'm still looking at it because on some level it's really going to be good, and on the other level, what is coming? My question is, what is coming beyond that? Because okay, so let's say that all the swamp is cleaned out and the people are dropping out like flies. You can see that. And people might think, oh, they're just retiring. No, there's indictments going on. There certainly are. So there's other reasons going on, but people don't realize that. But you say, okay, let's say Trump is the, you know, whatever. They say he's the savior and all that stuff coming on his white horse, which I don't know about that. But let's say that he is doing something good here, cleaning out the deep state. And he really did meet with Kim Jong-un months prior to their upcoming meeting, by the way. And if you notice, if you pay attention and if you do any research, November was the last time that Kim Jong-un set off one of his, or attempted to set off one of his nuclear things.
Yeah.
Now, also, if you do the research, you'll see that in Korea, they were building this monumental structure that cost $300 million or billion dollars. Where does Kim Jong-un get that money? Well, so if you do go into that research, you know, basically you'll find out that that was being funded by the deep state. So when some things shifted there, which by the way, Obama spent a lot of time, and he even had a compound in North Korea, and I know people are raising their eyebrows right now and thinking, oh, that woman is a wackadoo conspiracy.
Well, everything that they called the conspiracy theorist crazy about has basically now started to bleed into the mainstream media. And that, like the chemtrail deal, they said, oh, that's just contrails, and they did things to try to debunk and make everybody sound stupid. And now, because it's such a mainstream in the alternative media portion of it, now they've actually came out and admitted to doing it. Harvard University and all these different places saying that this is why they did it, and this is why they can't stop or whatever. You know, they basically started a mess, and now they have to keep going and all this kind of craziness. I don't think they have to keep going. I don't think they should have been doing it to begin with. But nonetheless, they really admit to spraying stuff. So chemtrails isn't a conspiracy theory anymore. It's fact.
Right. Of course, now it's a fact because it just came out that Harvard, you know, the scientists at Harvard, and I was in contact with that scientist, by the way. But anyway, so here's the thing. This is an extraordinary thing. Nobody knows about this unless, again, you just really do research. Giant Pyramid Hotel in North Korea remains a mystery. I'm going to send this to you because if you look at this structure, so now this is about, okay, the deep state, okay, equals the Illuminati, equals the pedophilia systematics going on in the world, equals, you know, these other people that are players in this, and then equals, of course, you know, a Luciferian. Everything they do, their buildings, if you're another conspiracy theorist or realist, you will note that all the buildings, the main structures really, especially in the United States, are built according to Masonry guidelines and Illuminati specifics. We're talking certain geometric formations and positioning on the earth and the grid lines and blah, 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 right? So you have that. Now here, this 105-story pyramid, North Korea, has been plagued by decades of delays and rumors that it may not be structurally sound. Construction barriers around the hotel have recently been taken down, revealing two new walkways leading up to the building and a propaganda sign declaring that North Korea is a leading rocket power. Okay, so they, again, the launches, okay, of intercontinental ballistic missile-dominated headlines late last week, okay? So North Korea's latest missile test put Toronto, much of U.S., within range. This started this people freaking out, right? So finding out more about this structure, the plans for it to be built
ended. Did you already put the link in?
Oh, no. Let me see.
Yeah,
they already, so the, come to find out that the deep state, the hidden whomevers were actually paying the CIA, were actually paying for this structure to be built. And then when Trump met with Kim Jong-un a couple of months ago, the first time during his presidency when Trump visited China, Kim Jong-un was there, and from that point on, his bomb throwings stopped. Yeah, got that?
Yeah.
That all ended. So, there's that piece, and now they're going to meet, let's see, in reality. and show everybody that Kim Jong-un is going to play the game. He's going to play along. He's not going to be a threat. He's going to denuclearize his stuff and so on, right? So this is quite a mystery here. The pictures of this thing are quite mind-blowing, right? It's a hotel of doom, but it's empty. There's nobody there.
It's really a strange-looking building.
I'll say. Yeah, I'm going to pop it into the people-to-people chat so people can read about this. But I'm going to say, don't just read this article. I'm going to say, and here's how you find things out, okay? You go and you Google North Korea Temple of Doom and conspiracy, okay? That's how you do rabbit hole stuff, because they give you the answers. They do. It's quite fascinating. So you'll find out, okay, 400 million, okay, the question was, where did he get this, the building, sorry, wait, oops, I lost my, the question is, where did he get this money? Nobody knows. The building itself cost a staggering $595 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So, but the official population said to range between 2.5 million and 3.8 million. Okay. Is a failure of an enormous scale. In other words, the people, that country is poor. They don't have this kind of money. So that was the question that started getting us digging. Okay, where did they, you know, where did they get this money to build this? Well, we found that out. You know, I'm just saying. So it's quite fascinating. So there's things here that the people don't know, and we're just waiting. I want to get back to my perception of Trump, the deep state, the taking down, the cleaning out of the swamp, the let's say the agreement that Russia, Putin, has with Trump, because Putin does not want to lose his control of his country. Trump is supposedly working with you know, some factions of the Pentagon, knows all about the deep state, was touted as a conspiracy nutcase because of his beliefs in that. And so what's going to happen after? If all of this is true, which I'm tending toward to see it is, what is our country going to become? What will it look like? What will be then in the world? What will be going on? In other words, there's got to be another agenda. There is another agenda is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know what it is, but it ought to be interesting. Give us plenty to talk about. All I'm saying to everybody out there, you got to keep your eyes peeled. We're living in a strange episode. I'm sitting here looking at it, and the words underneath there said it was supposed to represent a rocket, so that North Korea would be a rocket power or something like that.
Well, and didn't you notice that Trump said prior to all this, he said Rocket Man. He called him Rocket Man.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Well, so what do you think? I mean, so I'm saying that there's things that he knows that we don't know, and he's giving signs. He's giving, information out in his speeches, in his movements, and certain things.
Well, I'm thinking Trump doesn't get where he is today by being stupid. And so, with that said, if he got in there, he would already knew ahead of time when to get in there, he's going to have to watch his back. And probably surround himself with his own private security force outside of the Secret Service, because, Kennedy, he was protected by the Secret Service. Look what happened to him, And so you got to know who's on whose side when you get in there, and that's the problem is they don't know who's on whose side anymore. And, it's the whole double agent thing going on.
So, but this hotel is in 25 years sitting there, 25 years not being completed, but it's a Masonic pyramid. It's the 33 decameters high. There's all these numbers. I'll pass this to you. Here's an alternative informative news site that you can find out the conspiracy theories, will give you certain information, but you have to determine yourself. Again, when I go down these rabbit holes and I look at this conspiracy stuff, I'm still picking through it and using my truth meter. I'm not just saying, I jump in the conspiracy stuff and I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's a lot of information on those links that you will find some sources that will lead you then into a deeper place and more information. And you just have to look at this, and use your own determination. It's important that we do that, right?
Yep.
So you have Kennedy. All right, so President Kennedy did say, and even I think it was Eisenhower, but Kennedy spoke in his last speech before he was murdered, assassinated, about this deep state. He was ready to expose it.
Yeah, we played that. He's talking about a vast conspiracy and wanted America's people to get the word out to everybody what was going on. And it wasn't long after that speech, he wasn't around anymore. So everybody was, okay, well, there's a conspiracy theory in itself. Well, Kennedy was obviously an inside job. It wasn't a one-man episode there, because even at that time the Secret Service would have been crawling all over that place before Kennedy came down there in a convertible,
Yes, exactly. Well, and without shields or whatever. But well, now that truth has come out, and guess what? Who put that out? Trump.
Yep. Well,
Trump opened up the files and let everybody look at this stuff. And so why is the Masonic obsession? What is this? Because pyramids are a Masonic obsession, and if you're into any conspiracy things or looking for the truth, you will understand that everything has to do with this Masonic, circumstance and their measurements, that basically their systems are built throughout our country. Now we're talking energy again. We're talking frequency, okay? You have sacred geometry, I guess you could call it, because it is set up using these systems, the numbers, the golden rule, and so on and so forth. You have to look at what all this means. You say, well, it's just a building shaped like a hexagon. Oh, it's just a building shaped like a pyramid. But, you know, it's really important that you understand what these systems, these systematic structures, the way they're built, what they do represent on a deeper scale, energetically.
It looks like something out of a Buck Rogers movie, like it could actually fly at some point. Maybe it's the way to get off the rock or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, so looking at just pull up here. Okay, so I'm talking to you. Pyramids, Masonic. If you just Google pyramids, okay, Masonic structures, and let's see what we get. And what's the okay? And add conspiracy theories. New World Order. Ta-da! Masonic conspiracies. Okay, that creepy eye in the back of the dollar bill explained, you know, so on and so forth. It's the Astana myth, Zionist Freemasons, Denver Airport conspiracy. Yeah, there's one for you. Boy, you look at the painting in the Denver Airport.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Ah, really? But the what that represents, okay? It's just like a movie. A movie tells us something that's behind the scenes that they have a plan for. When you look at these paintings in these airports, and all this architecture, this Masonic architecture, right? So you have this information, 9 questions about the Illuminati you were afraid to ask, right? There's a strong argument that the floating eye, now we all know about that floating eye, right, on the dollar bill, right?
Let me tell you a quick story. Just here recently, not too long ago, my wife and I celebrated an anniversary, and she put us on a trip to this old winery that was supposedly haunted or whatever. And so we get to this place, and I don't think it was haunted or anything per se, but I started noticing a lot of weird stuff around this particular building, and it was all Masonic related. There was even a Masonic Bible in there, and plus old pictures, and one of the pictures that was in one specific room just so happened to be a picture of a rabbi. Well, as I'm looking around, they got this one room that's like a little miniature museum. And inside this one room where they got a little miniature museum, they got this skeleton that they call George. And it's a real human skeleton. It's in a glass case, but it was one of the, one of the founders of the actual building that the place was in. Apparently, the Masons owned this complex after, at one point in time, it was actually a hospital and maybe even a mental institution at one point, but there's a lot of history going behind there, but somehow or another the Masons end up at having it. But what kind of motel, it's kind of like winery / hotel thing, and you can go down there and you can sample wine and buy wine from them and stuff like that, and they got special ballrooms and all this kind of stuff, and there's a lot of mystery behind the whole thing. But you go in this one specific room and they got all of these artifacts of old Masonic lodges, most of which you wouldn't even know about because it's all supposed to be like secret, you know, it's like secret lodge stuff. But then they got this skeleton that they call George, which is actually a real human skeleton that was donated to the museum, and it's just like really creepy. I mean, what kind of motel would actually have a human remains, a skeleton, full skeleton, in a glass case, and then stay in business? You see what I'm trying to say here? I mean, it was like, It was nasty, it was weird, it was creepy, and even looking at the artifacts around, the books laying around, I mean, it was, you knew you were in the heart of a true Masonic culture, and even the looks that my wife and I got from certain of the guests there, which I believe that they were probably from other lodges or stuff like that, that just happened to stay in this motel and they were having a party or whatever, they were giving us strange looks through this whole process while we're out there running around looking around. But this entire inside this building that's a motel was just peppered with statues and symbology all over this. I felt like I was really, quite literally, standing in the heart of the beast. It was that creepy.
Well, you remind, are you talking about the Luxor?
No, this is in, I think it's Liberty, Missouri. It's outside of Liberty, Missouri. I'll have to look it up. I can't remember the doggone name of it.
All right, but you're talking about the structure, you know, the Luxor Hotel there where all that carnage happened and so on. There's a lot of information in relation to that, but it's the structures I'm talking about. It's the degrees, the measurements. So it's, these are ancient secrets and their symbols and their mysteries. Listen to this, that can fundamentally change our world, because we're talking energy and frequency, right?
Oh, I'm going to send a picture link into the chat room so that you can see. I just found it, doggone thing. Let me see, I'll open the link in a new tab. Are you in the chat room?
Yeah, I can get there, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to send a link in there and you'll see George.
Okay.
And tell me if that is not creepy. That's actually in this motel.
You're sending it into Skype?
I'm sending it into Shazoo's chat.
People to people?
No, actually in the Shazoo's chat room.
We'll send it into Skype chat,
yeah,
and I'll send it to people to people.
Oh, doggone, that's the wrong link. Hold on.
Yes. We're in a big school. Jones says, "Hey, Barbara, I can always rely on homework links. Every day's a school day." It's true. Come down the rabbit hole with us.
All right, I'm getting closer to you. I'm putting it in all the chat rooms on Super Chat. But this is.
But I think we have to talk about. We're talking about going back to frequencies and energies, because everything has a frequency and an energy, right?
Yeah, well, this and has some bad energy.
Okay. I think it depends on what energy you put into them, you know? You have sacred geometry. Everything in the world has that golden number, or golden pi, everything. Pyramids, ancient structures, all built with the same sacred geometry. It's really quite fascinating. But how do you deal with these? What do you do around these structures? See, that's the key piece. Wow.
Did you see it?
I'm looking at it.
This is George. He was a member of the Odd Fellow Fraternity Society in the late 1800s and donated his skeleton to be used for rituals, which is now on display at the winery. It says, I've heard the... whatever.
What kind of rituals?
Masonic rituals.
Oh, there you go.
And if you look through, if you actually look this particular museum or this building up and start looking through there, matter of fact, that building that you just showed me as far as Korea, there's when I searched this particular deal, I happened to come across a temple that was shaped almost just like that doggone thing. It's crazy.
Well, so you can either use these for the betterment of the world or harm. And when you have people like the Illuminati, for instance, they know all about these sacred geometries, they know all about these systems, and they built these structures, for purpose, for their purpose, right?
Yep.
So you have, what are they doing? Well, they're doing certain ceremonies, deliberately, you know, specifically for their control or whatever they choose to do with them, however they choose to do. Oh, Patty, there's Patty. Hey, Patty, sister, how you doing? Come on in.
It's a Belvoir, whatever winery, I can't even pronounce it, but if you go see inside this building, they did an upgrade to the upstairs is where the actual motel is, but they got a winery downstairs, and if you take a tour inside this thing, you'll see Masonic symbolism everywhere. And there's actually outbuildings that are not being used, but they're really creepy and adds to the whole supposedly haunted deal. But
well, when you put up we're getting somebody's sticking their tongue at us. When you get a structure, okay, like a pyramid. So there's a pyramid of peace, all right, built. When you get a structure like that, okay, you have to question, does the Pyramid of Peace function as a beacon of universal Freemasonry? And is the House of Ministries a modern reconstruction of King Solomon's Temple? So there's a lot of questions in here. If you go into these structures and you do certain ceremonies, you are activating a certain frequency, right? And a certain energy. These pictures are phenomenal in this Astana myth. Boy, look at these structures. You guys have to look at this, right? For thousands of years, foundation myths have been fraught with controversy, shrouded in grisly fables about the gods, bloodshed, and victories over chaos. But what if a case could be made for a modern foundation myth rooted... Just lost it. You just did me in.
Oh, sorry. Hey. I added Patty to the conversation.
What if these structures hold the key to a global myth, foundation myth, about the secret destiny of the world? This is what we're looking at. Who's in control of all this stuff?
Yeah. Who's the man behind the curtain?
As we're talking frequency and energy through ceremony and ritual, ancient ceremony, sacrifices. I mean, we're looking at this stuff today with the... what was that island, sis, that they just burned to the ground that had the structures in it that is Q was talking about?
I don't know, but I do. I want to point something out real quick to people out there listening in. It doesn't matter if you believe in the conspiracies or frequencies or anything like that. These people
do. Was that Epstein's Island? No.
Yeah, Epstein's Island. Yep.
These people do believe in it. That's why they got old George's skeleton in there. He was donated for doggone ceremonies and weird stuff. You know?
Well, this is supposedly the Illuminati capital of the world here. This is called Astana. A-S-T-A-N-A, like astonishment.
You got a link to that one?
I sent it in. Maybe I sent it to... Here it is again. These photos of these structures are just extraordinary. They will blow your mind. There's our favorite... did I give it to you? No.
No.
You didn't get it?
Uh-uh.
Wait, coming in. Hello. All right, let me try it again. Oh, wait, hold on.
Anyway, this is why I smell a rat. Seriously, because all this, it's like a show. They say life imitates art. It's like a big clown show or something going on. But it's, you know, it's got real consequences. You know, these people, they may be playing a game with the world because they're wealthy enough to do it. And, you know, they may have like certain rules in there where they got to let us know that they're getting ready to beat us up. And, you know, because... If they say that they're going to beat you up via a movie or whatever, then and you don't run, then it's implied consent. We told you we was going to do it, you know. But you know,
I do want to say something about myths. I believe that myths are factual more than just myths.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least at all. I mean, that's why I say if you ever told me Bigfoot was in your backyard, I wouldn't doubt you.
Well, we have Bigfoot here.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, me personally, I ain't seen an alien from outer space. I ain't seen Bigfoot. I saw what I thought could potentially be a Bigfoot, but, you know, we also live in a state where black bears are around, and we might have been fishing in the wrong area at the wrong time when some mama bear wasn't happy that we were around, started swimming towards us, but whatever it was, listen, it was big, black, and hairy, and it was coming after us.
That was Bigfoot's cousin. You know, I know somebody who watches a series called The Walking Dead, and I said that I've seen a lot of those Walking Dead around, and I'm not watching TV.
Yeah, you just go to Walmart, you see enough of that.
Now, watch out. Some people listening might stop. At Walmart.
I'll go to Walmart.
You'd be politically incorrect.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you want to see that motel that I was talking about, there's some really creepy places in this world, and that's one of them. I mean,
creepy places.
Well, yeah, they got a skeleton named George. I mean, who has a human skeleton named George in their restaurant slash motel slash winery?
Now wait a second. Didn't the Elder Bush have a skull, an actual human skull?
It wouldn't surprise me in the least. I mean,
no, he belonged to a fraternity that had
skull and bones. He belonged to, and they had an actual human
supposedly,
skull.
Supposedly, wasn't it supposedly Crazy Horse's skull?
I'm thinking that it may have been. Let me just Google this because.
Well, I'm looking at these buildings that you just showed me now. Yeah, there's a lot of symbology and pyramids going on. They got, looks like the phoenix rising on the ground in a big giant pool. And
Yep.
I think there's a lot, like you said, I believe there's a lot more to mythology, you know. Even in the book it said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, in those days they said there were giants on the land, and so maybe there's going to be giants again, all this genetically modifying and stuff like that going on. It's hard to say what you're going to end up seeing, and none of it would surprise me in the least at all. If a big giant come walking past my house, I wouldn't even be even remotely shocked. It wouldn't surprise me none. I mean, they talk about putting spider genes in goats so that they can make a special strong kind of silk and stuff like that, or silkworms and stuff. All the, you've heard all the deals. They grow in ears on the back of mice and stuff. There's some weird stuff out there.
I just love you, she says. Hey, sis, what do you have to say today?
I don't know yet. I woke up to George.
George.
I haven't even had my first coffee yet.
Did you see the picture?
Yes.
Now, imagine
I followed the link and I said, oh.
We stayed there. We stayed there overnight, and I didn't see any or hear any ghosts or anything. We did hear some noises, but I think most of it was like they got this deal set up where they can pretty much shake things up at night. They got a computer that, in room that they could sit there and, you know, specifically target a room for noises or even voices for that matter to keep the myth of the ghost thing going on so that they can get business, because it's basically, they say it's haunted. Well, when you're sleeping in what they say is a haunted deal, and you know there's a skeleton in the basement, not in the basement, but on the first floor in that little museum, it's kind of creepy. But it's pretty expensive to stay there, so we decided we'll just go ahead and stick it out and see what kind of ghosts show up. And if it gets too rowdy, we'll just jump in our car and go. But then we're also thinking, I'm sitting here thinking all the conspiracy theories that I've ever heard about and satanic rituals of, you know, certain groups. And I'm in this place and there's all kinds of symbology, everything from a big, huge portrait of a rabbi to Masonic Bibles and other books and symbology and artifacts, statues, and a skeleton in the other room.
Okay.
Well, it's going to take a special kind of person to want to sleep in a hotel with a skeleton in a lobby, or to even eat dinner there. I got to say.
Yeah. Well, we brought our own food, thank God. But you know, it's just, It was an experience. I told my wife, I said, next time around, I'm planning our anniversary.
All right, here we go. 9 years after Geronimo's death, Skull and Bone members...
Geronimo, that's who it was.
Yep, Skull and Bone members who were stationed at the army outpost dug up the warrior's grave and stole his skull, okay, as well as some bones for other personal relics. They then sprinted the remains away to New Haven, Connecticut, and allegedly stashed the skull at the Society's clubhouse, the Skull and Bones tomb. Now, legend has it that the grave-robbing posse included Prescott Bush, father of George H.W., and grandfather of George W. There you go. Nasty.
Yeah, real nasty.
20 descendants of Geronimo have filed a lawsuit against Skull and Bones. Yale University and members of the U.S. government, including Barack Obama, calling for the return of their ancestors' remains and wherever else they may be found.
Well,
yeah.
I just found something I didn't even realize. I probably already took a picture of it, but I didn't realize it. If it's the same doggone deal, I'm going to make sure I'm going to verify it real quick, but... There's a fountain out front that actually has a ram's head on it, made out of concrete. If that don't add to the creepy factor. Oh, my wife, I love her to pieces, but she got to stop playing in, places that, before you go to, sign the check, let me take a look at what's going on here. Is that
let me see who's hanging around in the lobby.
we're sleeping with the crypt keeper, and I don't want to do that.
It's so romantic.
Yeah. So the frequency and energy of these structures is quite fascinating to me, because when you have, it looks beautiful out there. Wow, look at that pyramid. Look at that amazing building. That amazing structure. And but yeah, what else is going on again behind the scenes, energetically, frequency-wise, that they're throwing up there, throwing out, and it's functioning in a way that we may not even know. I'm just saying.
Jeez. I need to go back on that site again. Well, I'm awestruck. Yeah, out in front of that building is a doggone water fountain that has a ram's head on there. Of course, you know what symbology the ram's head is, so... Yeah. She took us to the devil's den for... Hey, come on, folks. Who does that? Who puts a skeleton in a casket with a glass case over the top, or a glass lid so you can actually see this? And what kind of creepy individual donates themselves to be a part of a ritual? Hey, alright, so this is a weird world we live in. It's obvious. If you want to look around, you'll figure it out. It's a weird world. And we say...
Well, we're just a bunch of conspiracy nutcases here, so thank you all for joining us.
Yeah, that's it. And if you think it's a conspiracy about the dead guy laying in the motel, go over there can you pronounce that? It's a Belvoir Winery in Liberty, Missouri.
Is it Belvoir?
Belvoir.
Belvoir, yeah.
Yeah, go there, check it out. And get back with us and let us know how.
Nah, I don't think so.
Hey, you want to take a road trip?
I'll watch The Walking Dead. I ain't going.
Hey,
oh, you're the one.
I know you were good. You didn't give any names. It was me, guys. I watched The Walking Dead. Yeah.
If you ladies take a road trip to go down to this winery, me and my wife will join you, and we'll all spend a creepy night in the motel. Yeah.
Well, I want to get to know you and your wife, but I don't think I want to. I didn't mean
in the same room or anything.
Oh, I wasn't even going there.
Oh.
Yeah. Whoa, okay.
All right, basically, a ghost.
What is this show about again?
Let me see. Where did we start? I don't
know. We started at I Smell a Rat. Okay. And this is where we ended up.
It's that skeleton in the room.
Yeah, that's what happened. The skeleton threw me off, man. Now I'm saying crazy stuff. But it's all part of conspiracy, right? You know? These guys aren't into weird stuff. They're not going to try to manipulate or lie to you or anything. They ain't got nothing to hide. I mean, apparently now they don't, because their skeleton's sitting right out there in public, you know?
Well, we started out with the I Smell a Rat. And we went into the Syria false flag. We went into the buddies, Putin and Trump, the signal that Trump gave them.
Yeah, they had their little chat.
The Tweety thing. And then we went to Kim Jong-un's temple. And, I mean, we went all over the place, as we usually do.
Well, talking about Epstein's Island, the
oh,
one
that... We haven't talked about that with the people.
Supposedly an earthquake that was a 4.2 off the coast of the island was responsible, they're saying, for this fire that destroyed the whole island right as all the information was coming out showing the people and the players and the sex trades and sacrifices and things that were going on at this island.
Yeah.
With the big names, and then all of a sudden, poof, the island burns up.
Yeah. Now, again, where was this island located? I forget. Epstein's Island.
I don't know.
Because, well, so go a little further with this, because we have not discussed Epstein Island on a talk show, as far as I remember.
Well, Epstein, from what I understand, he had a plane, and if you were lucky enough to get on the Epstein train or whatever it is, you got to go to the island, and all of the big names, politicos, globally were frequenters of that island, including Bill Clinton, quite a few big names.
It's
that,
in the Virgin Islands.
In the Virgin Islands, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so this Jeffrey Epstein, he was sort of like the talk about creepy people. So we were being exposed to this information here about Epstein Island by QAnon, and suddenly when it was getting really hot around that and information was coming out, suddenly, yeah, like Patty said, this
was that a pun?
What did I say?
Getting really hot.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was.
it was my unconscious.
It's the way we get information. It just pops out.
Yep.
It was getting hot, and it got really hot. So let's look at the. And suddenly an earthquake appears right there in that area and destroys the island and all the information. There was a temple there too, right?
Yes, and supposedly underground tunnels.
Right. Yes. Let me see if I can find photos of the temple. That was really fascinating. As soon as that started to happen, but what do you think about that earthquake, right?
It was like a 4.6 or something like that.
And so, but suddenly, boom, right? I mean, I'm just saying, they're messing with creating earthquakes, creating storms and hurricanes and all this stuff, right? It was like a controlled earthquake,
yeah.
I wonder, right?
This says News Media Watchdog has a deal out there. It says massive fire reportedly seen on private island owned by billionaire and sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you this because this is another one. Check this out because you look at this temple, right? We're looking at the temple, and we just got done looking at a whole bunch of Masonic temples throughout the world. I just popped it into you there. It's really quite fascinating. everything is fascinating. It's like mind-blowing. Here we go. Yeah, so that was a piece. And there's some people that are involved in that. Again, as I keep saying, there's something that's going to be... we hoping it's disclosed,
right? Do you know
right?
what that looks like a replica of?
What?
It looks like a replica of the Taj Mahal. Do you know what the Taj Mahal was?
Oh. Well, I know about it, but
well,
what are you saying?
Well, the Taj Mahal isn't like a motel, hotel, or something like that. It was actually a crypt that was put together by a royalty, Middle Eastern descent or whatever. Basically made it for his lady that died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and so this is, look, it's weird because why would you make something replica of what was, you know, basically a tomb for somebody who died? And I don't think that the lady was actually even buried in Taj Mahal. Something else happened, but either way.
Well, the word you just said is fascinating, that a tomb, right?
Yeah.
And the things that are supposedly going on in that, beneath that, like Patty
it's
says.
It's supposed to be a replica of Solomon's Temple.
Well, Google Taj Mahal and look at it. Tell me if they don't look alike.
Uh-huh. I think you're right, because it does look familiar. Spirit cooking, things happening there. All these movie stars are into this too. Very, very dark stuff. But this is what's going on. So you have, you know, they're calling it the Temple Pedophilia Island. Child pimp to the elite. And these are the things that we're looking at that may be coming out, that are going to kind of like, I mean, if they do come out, we don't know. We're kind of like waiting. People are waiting. That are going to pretty much be shocking. And I don't think people are going to believe it. That's my theory.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, man. I'm going to send this in. It's not exactly like it, I don't think, but it looks pretty doggone close.
Well, it says that it's not a... some people are saying it looks like a mosque, but contrary to popular belief, it's not a mosque, but a shrine. Okay.
Yeah, I just sent a picture link in for you. It looks like it.
So this is about sacrifice, this particular temple here.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. You know, it don't matter if people out there believe in, you know, the spirituality or the secret societies, beliefs in Satanism or whatever, because the fact is they believe in it. And they're the ones pulling the strings out here on the planet. You see what I'm saying? That tells me that doesn't look like sort of like the same thing.
Yeah. It does.
Not exact, but close. Plus, too close. It looked like a tomb. Anyway.
Well, let's solve the problems of the world.
Okay, there's another link that says Sacrificial Temple of Moloch, which is on Epstein's Edo Sex Island from Google Maps.
Well, none of it surprises me, and the fact that it burnt down doesn't surprise me either, because according to those pictures, that's a pretty large fire. They wanted to hide something.
And yeah, it burnt every building, I guess, on the island.
Which is fascinating that an earthquake would do that, right?
Yeah, a 4.6 off the coast of the island. And I don't know how close it was, but a 4.6, I mean, you know, we have 4.6s here.
Yeah, that's not a very, big.
All right, so, you know, getting back on track here, this whole deal about I'm smelling a rat kind of thing, is these folks, they got some weird, private, I don't know what you would want to say, they're... some of the things that their lifestyles are strange, to say the least. All right, and a lot of what they do in their own private lifestyle are illegal, to say the least. But nonetheless, these are the folks who have the money. These are the folks who keep on continuously getting elected. These are the folks that have something to gain, whether or not there's a pipeline going through Syria, or whether or not Europe wants to continue to allow Russia to send gas, natural gas, to UK or whatever. All these things, all these factors. You follow the money in every single one of these episodes, and not only will you find weird stuff, but you'll find corruption as well. And so, with the technologies available today, you got to be extra discerning about things that you're seeing, events unfolding, because, like I said in that one little video that I posted in the chat room, they had a picture of Obama on there, and they took a voice over from whenever he was younger and put it on his modern day picture. And the way that this tracking system works on it, don't matter which way he tilts his head or anything like that, it will keep it centered on there, and it is so incredibly good that you can't see any flaws in the system unless you actually know what you're looking for. Then you wouldn't know that it was even tampered with. It looks like a real video. And so with that said, you could get Trump to say anything you wanted if you had the right software, and you could get anybody on the planet to say what they wanted. And all these different things where they're actually tracking you on Facebook, and there's a TV deal where they talk about, right there in the paperwork, they say there's a setting you need to shut off because they have a microphone actually built in that they will listen in on your conversations. And what the heck is that, Sanyo? I can't remember which one it is, but one of the major TV deals basically says that they will listen in on your conversation, so they'll know what kind of things you're interested in. But it seems worse than that to me. But if you take little bits and pieces of everything that people said throughout the years, you've probably said every word under the sun. You know, so one of these days you'll hear me get on here and say I'm a terrorist, but I'm not even nowhere near the microphone, so I never even said it. But it sounds just like me, because you take all these bits and pieces of my voice and the tones, and you can make me say anything you want. That's what's creepy about this whole deal. And so, knowing these guys got these weird lifestyles, and knowing their political views and what they want to do, and all the different types of secret societies, and we're trusting these characters with the modern day technology, we're actually going to trust these people to be our so-called representation? I don't think so. I don't trust them as far as I can throw the planet, which ain't very far. You guys still there? Did I lose you?
Yes. No, okay. I'm here.
Anyway.
I'm carrying on a conversation in the chat, too. Everybody's talking now.
It all creeps me out, but I'm thinking, you know, with the, if you follow the money back, and there's got to be a purpose why we're over there fighting over resources, because somebody wants control of which gas line's going where, and just happened to be serious right in the path, not to mention all the other prophetic deals about the same place out there. And I kind of lean more towards the prophecy side of it, because of that message has been around a whole lot longer, but nonetheless, I still can't discount the political and financial side of it because of modern day stuff. You know, you put two and two together, these folks out there that are in charge, because they have the money, because they have the power structure, and they can actually get elected because they can control the media, whatever the media says. If I had the media on my side, I'd probably get elected too. But once I found out that I wasn't going to do what they wanted me to do, I'd probably get whacked. That'd be the shortest presidency in the history of time. Before I even got sworn in, they'd done blasted me. It'd be a done deal. Like, I ain't having none of your shenanigans, folks. we're going there, we're going to clean house. I'd have to say, no, we're going to business as usual. Everything's cool when we get in there. Then, lock myself in a room and start signing papers or hope for the best. Tell the media that your government's corrupt and I'm the president and I can prove it, and my message wouldn't even get out over the internet. That censorship would kick in. I wouldn't even get a chance to say nothing. If you think I'm joking, try to call the White House. Tell them you want to talk to the president. Find out. I called the White House and I was on the phone with this lady for, I would say, a good at least a half an hour. And I haven't tried to have a conversation why it was I could or could not speak to Bill Clinton. And so whenever I'm sitting there asking her, I said, well, how do I get to talk to the president? And she said, well, he's not available. And I said, well, when will he be available? I'll call back. He's not available. And this kind of went on back and forth. And finally I said, you mean to tell me, as a taxpaying citizen of these United States, that there is never, ever, ever going to be a time when the President of these United States would be available to talk to me? She said, he's not available. I'm like, does he even exist? He ain't available.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Does he even exist?
Well, she didn't find no humor in it, and she hung up on me.
So, I'm sure she gets a bunch of quacks calling her every day.
Well, I can understand wanting to protect the president, but if you talk to somebody long enough and you can recognize that they ain't a quack, I wouldn't even care if the Secret Service had 500 phones and they were all listening in, because I wasn't going to say anything threatening. I just wanted to ask the man some questions. Because at the time, that was when they was going through the Clinton impeachment trials, and Alex Jones was on doggone radio telling everybody the end of the world was here, and Doomsday was getting us, and the secret societies were, coming to get my kids and all that kind of stuff. And so, I was sitting around one day, I said, well, you know what, I'm going to call the White House and ask the president if things are as bad as what everybody says. I didn't even get a word in edgewise except with that doggone lady that I'm talking to at the deal. And she didn't hang up on me immediately until I asked her if he even existed. I'm like, I'm just saying, you mean to tell me there ain't no chance in my entire lifetime that I will ever be able to talk to the President of these United States? Well, can I at least leave a message? He's not available. And that's why I said, does he even exist? Click. Maybe I got too close to the truth. What do you think?
I think that that if you have something real that you want to talk about, they're never going to listen. They see you coming a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be on Twitter before I got disengaged, and I used to tell the World Health Organization and the CDC and whoever else decided to put out fake news. I'd call them out on it and everything. And you'd be surprised how many people would retweet what I tweeted. And the CDC and the World Health Organization, who I was writing to and asking to please explain to me why this was this way and that was that way, would never reply. And I would go back and I would tell them, I just want you to answer my question. That's all I want. I just want you to answer my question. And they never did. They never will. Because they can't answer your question, she says, and you can't talk to the president. Not if you know what you're talking about. Well, I mean, if you want to call him up and shake his hand and say, pat him on the back and say, good job, dude, he's going to be there for you.
Y'all.
But if you're going to say, hey, I want you to explain this to me, that ain't happening.
I posted a copy of a letter that I wrote to the President of the United States and never got a response, but it all had to do about energy and research and people wanting to, help make things better, and never got no response. These folks don't want free energy. They don't want anybody to know that there's alternatives. They don't care about alternatives. Every time somebody gets a bunch of solar panels, suddenly their own people's trying to say, well, we got to charge you money for being on the grid anyway, or you can't get completely off the grid. We got to tax you. We need that tax money. That's all they care about.
My mom wrote the president of the United States a letter and asked him to help her because they stole our land, and a very eloquent letter. And the reply was, she did get a reply, and it said, I don't have anything to do with this, I can't help you, sorry. Just that short and sweet. Yeah. You know, I have the reply to the letter. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. They have their agenda, and their agenda's going full speed ahead. And if you try to put a fly in that ointment, you know, you're going to run up against this impenetrable wall. And no matter how you try to get in touch, no matter how you try, look at the officials that said, you're talking about the people who tried to go off-grid and then they made it illegal after telling people that you need to find a new way to use energy and be responsible. Well, the people did exactly that, didn't they? They went and they found a way to make themselves totally off the grid and provide themselves with energy that wasn't taxing the earth or anything. And what did the senator come out and say? He said, if you keep doing this, people, you're going to take all the energy from the sun.
Ah.
And you're gonna, do you remember that? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And this is what you deal with, you know? So they had to make it illegal, Shaziz, because we were going to kill the sun with our solar panels. That's why you can't get off the grid. You
Maddie,
see?
Click on this link. Do me a favor. Read that out. I posted it in the chat room. This is what.
Okay. Here we go. Dear Mr. President Trump. Dear Mr. President Trump, while I am not a believer in man-made climate change, I do understand that the world needs clean, renewable energy. I feel that with the right team willing to work together, I can help make this a reality. Sir, we have every single piece of the puzzle and the science to make it happen. I also know that there may be concerns about economical ramifications as far as oil and electrical power companies. But I also believe that there is a way for even those industries to benefit and thrive while making advancements into the future. The automobile industry would do very well as well. The thing is, the average Joe is at the mercy of all these industries financially. There is a need around the world that can be met that would allow for higher standards of living for everyone. We have an opportunity at our fingertips unlike anything in the history of time. We have access to the vast sum of all man's knowledge and brilliant minds worldwide willing to come to the table and show you what they can do. There is at this time so much untapped talent and potential available, and it would truly be a shame to let this pass by. I know that you are very busy trying to make things happen and that your time is very valuable. With that said, you have men and women who are not wealthy but very brilliant with many talents and gifts, working very hard and sharing information in alternative energy research down here on the grassroots level worldwide. We will meet the need that the world has asked for, and we will be able to do it in perfect harmony with nature. If you ever find a bit of time to sit down and breathe, I am only a phone call away. It would be an honor to speak with you about this subject. I hope that this message finds its way to your desk and that you and your family are doing very well. Please send my love to them and all those working hard with you to make this nation and the world a better place. Thank you, Mr. President, for your service, and a special thanks to all those who keep you and your family safe in these troubled times. My only wish is that the world could hear my words. We have true hope and every answer to solve all the world's problems if we can only come to the table together. can share the gifts that our that I believe our Creator has given us. We, the people, are truly blessed if we choose to make this dream come true. I believe this with all that I am. We can fix this world starting right here at home, and the light we shine will guide the way for all those to see. Thank you again for everything, Mr. President. Sincerely, with love, God bless America, and God bless the world.
Now tell me what's wrong with that.
Well, he asked a person who's incapable of doing what you want them to do.
Well, it's a beautiful letter, but I think that maybe if you offered him stocks, the first stocks in your inventions, he might have jumped on it.
Yeah, I'll make you some money, man. That's the whole thing. Average Joe, words of wisdom, you can't get heard. And that's why these doggone networks that we got going on are so important, because while we have access to the technology, it's the only way we can get information and truth out to each other, because you've seen what the mainstream media does. I posted this on Facebook. I just posted it again. But I posted this on Facebook, and you would have thought that if enough people would have read that somewhere or another, if that message would have went viral, because all the environmentalists like what I had to say and other people, and it would have made it to the mainstream media, which eventually the president would have saw it, you know, and he would actually got the message. But this message just went downstream. Facebook like a raging river.
Send it to Alex Jones.
Yeah, that'll work.
Trump watches Alex Jones and Fox or Fox News. I don't know.
Jones isn't going to read that out.
I think Jones went ballistic.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was on the verge, but
he was cussing up a storm.
He lost it.
Huh. Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Dang.
Oh, you missed it? Oh, darn is right. Well, dang.
But either
he's
way,
always going ballistic.
We've been trying to get some positive movement going to help this world out. And I just laid it out in a letter to the president what we the people would be willing to do. You know, there's a lot of talent, and we could do this if we really seriously wanted to. We had the backing. I mean, if you take in factor out how much money was just wasted bombing some buildings, whether they were habitable or not habitable before they got bombed, that's part of the conspiracy. But nonetheless, if you took the money from the last one a year ago, they said they put 58 bombs at it. And this time they doubled it up. So how much money was involved, each one of those bombs, how much did they cost? You took that and you put that towards research. Do you realize how much stuff that you could get accomplished and tested with that kind of money? And our governments are sitting here telling us that we have these needs, we got to fight climate change, and instead of them working with the people to find a real solution, they want to go out and use Operation Solar Shield and spray crud in the air and make our environment worse. I mean, this is April right now, April 15th of 2018, and it's snowing outside of my house. All right, I got cherry blossoms on the trees. And I got peach trees that have blossoms on there. Of course, you know what happens when you get a late frost. That doesn't help for it to grow any fruit. But nonetheless, it can happen.
Well, 3 days ago, we had 80-degree weather. The day before that, we had 70-degree weather. 2 days ago, we had 46 degrees, and we had snow yesterday. So, I mean, there's climate change, all right.
Yeah, but this is all conspiracy, right? We're 10-foot hat nutcases because we don't recognize the weather patterns anymore. Even the ducks don't even know whether they're coming or going, because one day they're flying one direction, the next day they're trying to get out of Dodge because it's getting too cold.
Well, it's because there's too many things in flux here. We have a solar minimum, which is creating havoc. They've known the solar minimum was coming for a long, long time, but what did they do? They pushed global warming because they wanted the taxes on your breathing, and they wanted to tax you for, you know, people laughed when, remember when the little machines came out where you put a quarter in to get air for your tire, and people said, huh, now they're charging you for the air?
Yep.
I mean, we had no clue where they were going with that. They want to charge us for breathing, every individual, living individual, for breathing, right? Because breathing is bad today.
Yeah, and according to the EPA, it's classified as a toxic waste.
Right.
Hazardous waste.
So they're not interested, and they've never been interested in the environment, in making the environment healthy or making us healthy. It's never been about us. It's always been about control. It's always been about keeping us under the thumb. They cannot let out the people's ability to create these systems that do not affect the earth. They cannot allow us to create free energy. That takes us away from their control. They're never going to do it. She says it's always been manipulation. We've never been out of manipulation.
You're right.
They have been, yeah.
You're
They're
right.
never going to listen to you. They don't want to hear what you have to say.
And if it was such an issue, and all these gas lines weren't involved over there in the Middle East, and all the oil perspectives over there, if it was such an issue, and we didn't want to waste our time over there fighting with these people over their resources, we'd have all the answers right here at home. We would be energy independent, but they don't want energy independence. They need this conflict. It makes them money.
Exactly. And it keeps us. It keeps the people of this planet in flux, and we have to have somebody to have an angst against, because if we ever come together, oh my gosh, they lose. So the way they do that is they make enemies of us. They teach us who we need to hate. They teach us who we need to shun. They teach us who we need to bomb. There's always got to be a bad guy, but the bad guy has always been the same. It's never changed. We, the people, aren't the bad guys. We're fighting each other for them. They're the bad guys. And they're sitting there instigating and starting these wars and giving us reasons to hate each other because, hey, we're different colors. Oh my gosh. Oh my freaking gosh. We got different colors. That must mean something. That must mean we have to hate each other. It cannot possibly mean that we come from different parts of the world. No, it has to be because we have to hate each other. Because being a different color is bad, right? So, okay, and then, oh my gosh, religion. Oh my gosh, we gotta hate each other because religion now. Yeah, that's it. Because you can't be a different religion from another person and still treat that person with respect. Oh no, we gotta kill each other because of religion. Oh, wait. Now we got politics. Oh, we gotta hate each other because of politics. Yeah, yeah. Let's hate each other because of the way we think. Oh, how brilliant is that? And what sense does any of that make to us? But we're still fighting over every bit of that. They give us our marching orders and they say, okay, this week we're hating this guy, so jump on that guy because he's waving a red flag. Okay? Next week, oh, that guy's waving a blue flag. That's the guy we gotta jump, okay, and we jump. You know? This is, we're the ones being manipulated still because we still think that it's about us. And it's not about us. It's about them. You know? Just saying. Stepping down off the soapbox.
Yeah, soapboxes are good. Every once in a while we gotta get on one.
Well, I hate that terminology, standing on a soapbox. I do because it kind of degrades the message. I'm sitting here. I got an honest, legitimate concern in my heart for the future of humanity. And sure, I gonna come out here and say something, but here's the problem. I need to get a message out to people, and you need to get a message out there. We need to get a message out to people. But the only messages that people in this world will send viral these days, and viral is a term for those that ain't computer savvy or whatever, is like you know, it goes, gets thousands and thousands, if not millions of views, and everybody gets to see it. It's popular, so to speak. I ain't never, ever had a video or a message go viral, even though the information contained within was, you know, an answer or a solution or an idea to help a so-called problem that is existing in the world. Imagine if we had one of our Knights of the Round Table shows go viral because we said something controversial. I bet if we got on here and started threatening individuals and being radical and all that, I bet that'd go viral. That'd make the news. We'd go to jail and everything would be hunky-dory with the system. But that ain't what we're doing here.
And they don't want what we're doing to get out there. They don't want too many people to actually think, oh, wow, you know, they might be right.
That's why
they don't want that.
Well, they don't want solutions certainly being given out. That's, you know, they don't want a thought or an idea of unity or peace between people to come out. You know, they don't want that.
Let's say hypothetically, Trump's the real deal, all right? And if he ever read that message, he might actually act upon it. It might actually be something, but who's to say that my email ever even made it anywhere near the president?
Well, that's a good question, because you don't know who's controlling the whole circumstance there, not allowing certain things to get to whomever. But I just want to say that there, I popped this information into the chat, that there's 12 countries leading the way in renewable energies. You know, Iceland, Sweden, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, United Kingdom, Germany, Uruguay, Denmark, China, Morocco. Well, it says USA. Let's see. The United States of America is...
Oh, that mainstream media is so awesome, isn't it?
Okay, largest installed solar PV capacities and installed wind energy capacity, second only to China. But it is also one of the world's biggest energy consumers. Oh, well, which tends to cancel out much of the renewable capacity. So forget that. Then there's Kenya. Okay. And is part of that. So I'm just saying.
If you go towards Michigan from Missouri, and on the way out there, you will start seeing these big, giant fields with, I mean, incredibly tall wind towers out there. I mean, there's like wind farms just for miles. And you can take a picture of this from several miles away, and you got to like stretch back in your seat just to get the whole doggone thing in the lens of the camera. So you know they're huge, and you know there's a lot of power being generated by these things. And you'll see that a lot of these aren't even turned on. They're not even being used. They got brake systems on there where they can actually shut these things down so they won't spin in the wind or anything like that. But nonetheless,
well, they can only take so much wind before they have to shut down.
Yeah.
They can't take the big gusts. It's the same thing here in Kansas. I can go outside this town on a hill and look to the south and see a miles worth of wind turbines. I see them go by on the backs of the trains here weekly, where they're taking the wings and all of this stuff to these generators and putting them up. And they are running here, except for, I think it's like you can't run them higher than like 40 something miles per hour or something.
Yeah.
Or they automatically shut down. The same thing on the way from Kansas to Colorado, nothing but miles and miles and miles of these wind generators. But we're still paying the prices for the oil produced electricity. Yeah. I haven't seen anywhere in this state where the people are benefiting from this energy.
Nope, they're not. They're not benefiting from them. And that's
who's benefiting from it?
Well, the company that is fortunate enough to own them probably making money off, because they're still selling you that electricity even though they're getting it for free. Now, their justification would be, well, we had to buy the machinery, and so once we get it paid off, then we'll cut your price, which that's what the hydroelectric dam said too. But then years later, they're still charging outrageous for electricity. And solar,
the nuclear plant said that too.
Yeah.
So did the thruway when they put it in. Oh, after a certain amount of years, you don't have to pay anymore to get on this road.
But you can always trust your government. We'll never use these cameras to write you tickets. We're only using them for public safety. Yeah, not only are they using them to write you tickets, but they're using them to follow you around town to see where you're going. If you go down to Kansas, and I know you're from Kansas, so you probably know what I'm talking about, Patty. If you go down to Kansas, and from the time you cross the city, the line from Missouri into Kansas, you'll start noticing there are cameras on the poles on both sides of the street all the way through Kansas. And you're quite literally, from the time you come in on the deal, they could follow you anywhere they wanted to go, including your local shopping centers. Because all those cameras, CCT cameras, they all basically go into a network, and law enforcement has access to them. So if they want to know where you're at, all they got to do is pick you up on one camera and then track you from that point on. And they record all that stuff. So, you know, it ain't like nobody's watching you or anything. But it's all for public safety, right? It's all for your welfare, your well-being. I mean, if you get in a wreck, they'll know you got in a wreck because they'll see it on the camera or something like that. But
yeah,
have nothing to do with invasion
of
privacy.
They never stop any crime, though.
No. Nope.
You ever notice that? They've got all these cameras. Now, they'll get you for speeding or running red light.
Sure.
Oh, they got you. But if there's a real crime that happens, for some reason, those cameras are never working. It's like Walmart, you know, Walmart has cameras all across the tops of their buildings, right? Pointed out to their parking lot, pointed out right front. Well, when I was working for Marty, he sent me up to Walmart to go get him a TV, right? So I go up to Walmart and I get him a TV. And this is this big, giant, flat screen box that I had to manhandle. So I'm putting it in the truck. I turn around and my wallet's gone. Well, so I go home, and we call the police, and we call Walmart, because Marty happens to know the head of Walmart there, right?
Yeah.
So he's talking to the guy, and the guy says, I tell him, I said, I was on aisle so-and-so, I was right by the cart return on so-and-so, and he says, oh, well, our cameras don't reach in the parking lot that far.
Huh.
What? What?
Yeah, right.
You have 30 cameras at the front of your building, and you did not see me halfway up the aisle next to the baggage cart return.
Well, those cameras are going to be for the FEMA center, so, you know, they're probably not even on right now.
the whole point is they should have been able to basically look back through the footage and see right where you dropped it and who picked it up. But it might have been one of their employees that picked it up, and so in that case, they sure wouldn't want you to know one of their employees did it.
Well, actually, I saw the guy. I made eye contact with him. He was just coming into the parking lot, and he had a ball cap on, and I turned and I looked at him because I believe that making eye contact is important, right?
Yeah.
So I see him coming into the parking lot, and so he was not close to me. I didn't think anything about it. He was the only one in the parking lot besides me at the time. So I just grabbed the TV and I manhandled it into the truck and I turned around and just sat fast. And I told him, I gave him the description of the guy, you know, and they were like, okay, thanks. We'll do what we can.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's all about control. That's all there is to it. You know, Paul Harvey said back in 1965, he said, soon you'll have to have metal detectors at the doors and cameras all through there. And here we are today. Cameras in the school, cameras in the stores, cameras on the streets, cameras in your home, listening devices. All this is like, this is Orwell, George Orwell's on crack, man. Literally. I mean, it's just mind-blowing.
Cameras on your body, embedded in your body.
Yeah.
That's where we're heading. But so I'm looking at the time here, and I'm thinking, okay, so we've gone the gamut to all directions and so on and so forth. And I'm just going back to the mind controlling and the ceremonies and various other things, and using structures for energetics, you know, of you know, which is pretty compelling about, you know, doing ritual ceremony in certain structures and how that emanates out into, you know, the ethers and affects us all, and and how it's the imbalance or the negative used purposefully that way, and how to counterbalance that, you know, because I remember, and I said this to you, Patty, remember when we used to be on with Gerald Whitehorse Standing, and was it Stephen who used to get on and say he does ceremonies frequently to counteract, to counterbalance against the those that are in ceremony at these particular times that are doing negative, sending out, you know, bad energies, or do you remember
right.
that?
Yes, yes.
And how important this is for us, you know, I mean, we're talking about a lot of this crazy stuff, and the great percentage of it is very real, you know, I feel. That's why we're talking about it, and that's why we go into these places, and so that we can know what we're dealing with, what really is going on, that we are not completely aware of. But yet these things are happening, and the more we find out, the more bizarre and crazier it gets, and the more we feel like, wow, this has been going on for so long, and this plan or agenda, using frequency, using energy, using ceremony, ritual, and so on, and the power that these things have, you know, that what can we do, you know, to counterbalance this? What is in our hands, you know?
The most powerful.
Yeah.
We have the most powerful weapon that could ever be against this type of evil, and that is love.
Yeah.
It is the most powerful. It's what brings us together. It's what destroys the illusion. It's what takes the power away from them. That's why they have to keep us hating each other so much.
They have to keep that energy of hate, because the energy or frequency of love is what they fear.
There's this term that is kind of funny. It's called bum rushing. It's basically you get a crowd of people, and if you want to get into the place and create a ruckus really fast, you just have a whole crowd of people bum rush the door, and if there's somebody there guarding the door, they can't get everybody, so the crowd makes it through, and it might be time for us to bum rush the media, to bum rush the whole system, because we outnumber them like that deal from Bug's Life where they talk about if the ants ever figure out that they outnumber us 100-1, then our way of life is changing. And you can get results by when the people start to get loud, you see they try to throw something out there to appease the people. And even in the mainstream media, that at one time they wouldn't even talk about conspiracy theories outside of telling people that you're a nut. But now even the mainstream media is in on the deal, because they realize the best ratings are going to the alternative media, because the squeakiest wheel gets the grease, and now they realize, well, maybe we got to be a little squeaky too. You know?
Well, what's happened is people were living under the illusion for so long they never thought to question. They just thought, this is the way it is. And then the advent of the internet and the advent of free information,
yeah,
and
the
advent of being able to communicate. Yeah, we could communicate all of a sudden across the globe. And we started finding out, the more we talked, how similar our governments were acting, how similar our health industries and the whole nine yards was, and why were we all experiencing these same things at the same time? People started putting two and two together. It was a slow awakening. We all woke up really slow to the full extent of what is going on, but once we did, it was like you said, it was a bum rush.
Yep.
And the people on the internet were bringing more information faster than they could keep up with us. And so the media got kind of, they fell back a little bit, and then they regrouped. And the government, you know, when Obama said, I'm going to pass a law that says it's okay for our government to use propaganda and give to the mainstream media, and the people said, well, that's good. You have to sit and think what people said that, because we didn't say that, did we? We saw that coming. We saw what it was going to happen. So they've been playing, the media has been playing the people as hard as they possibly can. They're trying so very, very hard. If you look at the media today, They want us in fear. By gosh, more fear, more fear, more fear. And they're kicking it up, and they're kicking it up. The reason being is because they know. They know that we are coming together, that the people are starting to see through the illusion and throwing away all of these old tools that were given to us to hate each other. We are now seeing life in the real, and we are fighting back. This is why the media is hitting so hard right now. This is the war that we're in, the war of truth against the war of fiction. And the more we keep giving the truth, the stronger we become. So even though we think that the world is going crazy and everything, I am happy. I am so happy to see the people coming together. And especially on People for People, the people here, they speak one language from different parts of the world, one language, and it's called love. And within that one language, we have been able to make headway like you wouldn't believe. This is what we've got to start putting out there. Every time we see the lies being put out there, we need to counteract immediately with love, you know, and truth. We can't stop, and we can't get discouraged, because this is our power. And I do believe that we are making change. We see them running scared. There's a reason for that. We're the reason for that. We can't stop. We can't stop. That's the solution.
Well, unfortunately for them, they quite literally, you know, for greed and power and all that, they unleashed, they opened Pandora's box when they gave the people the internet.
Yes.
And that's what they fear the most now, because everything that they try to hide can be found, you know? And the things that come up out of this internet is what they're trying to shut. They're trying to shut the lid on Pandora's box, because the people are being heard by each other, you know? And even though you got to be discerning about the information that you're hearing, at least you're getting information that ain't specific to like CNN and ABC and all that. And then now ABC and all the major news media outlets are running scared because their ratings are dropping to the dirt, because nobody's listening to them anymore because they don't believe them.
Well, because the proof is in the pudding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you put out the type of lies that are being put out now, and you have the truth that's easily accessible, it's very hard to peddle that truth. So that's why we have to be even more vigilant. We have to continue, not give up, not fall back, not be afraid of what they might do. You know, these people on YouTube, I see them all the time, and they're saying, well, YouTube is demonetizing my channel and I'm moving away. It's not about money, folks. We got to get away from that. As long as we keep thinking what's in it for me, then we're playing their game.
Yep.
It can't be what's in it for me. It has to be what's in it for us. Us. The whole world. That's where we're at right now. Every single country across this globe is suffering. Every single individual within these countries is being played. None of us are immune. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Don't take it personally. It's collectively.
Right.
I feel like it's extraordinary times, because we are not helpless. We really aren't helpless. That it is in our hands to make a difference and a change, and that we can, and that's why they're freaking out, because they know we can.
Yeah.
So then you have more and more people getting this piece and understanding this, and so it is in our hands. We have that power, we have that ability, and that's why they're ramping up the attacks on all levels, because they know that, and they see things that are changing. So I feel that, you know, they've been, you know, incrementally training us to believe that we are helpless, and we are not helpless, and that everything is hopeless, and it is not hopeless. I don't believe that until, you know, the end of my time here, I will still continue to stand in this point right here in the center of the sacred hoop with my heart open and the love and compassion that I feel for everything and everyone, no matter who or what, and not take, you know, what is given out in a negative, or if I don't even know a fact for sure, I don't have proof, do not let it pass through as my words. I will not do that.
That's right.
So we need to ask, is what I'm doing bringing people together, or
that's
is what
key.
I'm doing bringing it, pushing us further apart?
Right.
And if what I'm doing is pushing people further apart, then I need to change my tack, because that's not what I want. So what are the things that are pushing us away from each other? Hate, anger, all this
judgment,
racism on cue, you know, hate on cue. When mainstream media says hate, we have to hate. Well, then let's not. Whenever they say, oh, there's going to be a giant protest and Soros brings his buses in, don't go to the protest.
Yeah.
Don't yell at the people. Don't hate at the people. Go to your government. Go to the news media. Go to them and say, we refuse to hate. We refuse to peddle your lies. Make a vocal point of standing in your truth and walking your talk.
Yep.
The same.
Let me give you guys a quick example, but we got to get up out of here pretty soon. It's at that time again. But a long time ago, me and my cousin were sitting around because we were like playing rock music and stuff like that. And we got this crazy idea that we were going to form a band and we was going to name the band Free Beer. All right? And we were going to become famous really quick. And our plan was this. We'd go to, we'd advertise Free Beer at Arrowhead Stadium. And so we'd have this stage set up with like cages around it so that we'd be safe from flying bottles and stuff like that. And so what we was going to do is we was going to get on stage and start playing our guitar. And when people started getting aggravated because they were advertised that there was free beer, they would start chanting, free beer, free beer. And we'd get that on video, send it out there on YouTube, and everybody would think we were popular because look at the whole crowd. They're hollering free beer. You see what I'm saying? And that's the kind of stuff that they pull on you. That's why those protests don't work. They go stand in the middle of a crowd, about 30, 40 people up there stand in the middle of a crowd. Look at all these people out here protesting. Some people are just trying to shop and wish everybody would get out of the way. But you got to be smarter than average bear. Name your band Free Beer and advertise Free Beer, and they will come. That's you know. But these the situation that we find ourselves in, I'm not going to get stressed out if I can avoid it. Because I don't know what the entirety of the truth is. I do know this. If we want to get any kind of results, you're going to have to elevate the messages that you want elevated. You're going to, as the people, have to share information with each other and elevate it up as high to the highest levels you can get it to. Like if you like that letter that I sent about the president, to the president, that I don't think he ever even got. Send it to your senators or your congressmen or your local news station or something like that and get them interested in what this letter says. And if they come here and listen to the doggone radio show or something like that, and we can tell them the same thing we've been saying. There's solutions out there. So you are powerful, but you're just not powerful by yourself. And that's why they keep you divided. That's why they label you different things, you know. And they got all these terminologies. If you don't agree with what they say, then you're a racist or a homophobe or a xenophobe or whatever. None of these might match your lifestyle, so maybe you don't really subscribe to it. So you might live a different lifestyle. But if you don't agree with them, then you're suddenly one of these labels. And so they're going to keep you pitted against each other. The entirety of all the chaos combined in makes every individual out there think that you're helpless. You're not helpless. You got one person, you got two people, then three people. Before too long, you got a crowd. You got a crowd of people. And in this world, the way that it usually works is the squeakiest wheel gets the grease. And so all those folks that gather to lobby Congress and Senate or to go out there and try to boycott companies to get advertisers to drop, Well, they're making the noise. You're not. You're not going up there saying, well, we're counter-protesting, they're protesting, look at our numbers, there's more of us than them. There's a million of us that don't want to go to war. There's only a few, a handful that do want to go to war. So how about we do this? We take the handful of few that want to go to war to make some money, and they go. The bankers go. The politicians go. The armchair generals from the mainstream media, they go. When they get over there, you know, we'll keep an eye on the situation. If it gets grave and they need a little bit of assistance, we'll see if there's any volunteers for anyone else to go. I don't think too many hands are going to go up under the circumstances, because look what they've done to this world. They've polluted our waterways. They've treated our brothers and sisters around the globe poorly. There's people starving today, and there's millions of dollars bombs being dropped here and a million over there. It might be in the billions. That's not even counting the fuel for the ships and the planes and the trucks and all the tanks or whatever that go here and there. That's not even counting the income for every single soldier who's getting a small income to be out there risking his life. Is nowhere near worth the money that he's getting paid, he or she or whatever the case may be. And all the medical, all the food and everything that you want to talk about, every expense that there is to doing anything on a mass scale, all those millions, billions, if not trillions of dollars wasted over there fighting a sovereign country because we don't like their politics, or we want our gas pipeline to go here and they want it to go over there and we're not agreeing with each other. That's the system. That's the system that puts the cameras in your face. It's the system that puts the cameras and the metal detectors at your kids' doorway at school. When you have a test to see which one of these buildings looks like a prison and which one looks like a school, and the school gets the prison vote because it looks more like a prison than the actual prison, well, I think we got some issues. And, you know, every single one of these supposed school shootings are all in gun-free zones. Criminals don't care about the law, and the criminals that run the government don't care about the law. All they want is the power, they want the money, they want the control. And the only ones in this world that have the numbers and the strength to actually stand up to the beast that's eating them alive is we the people. We're the only ones that's going to do it. We're the first ones to rush into a natural disaster or a man-made disaster and try to pull our brothers and sisters to safety and bring them food and shelter and clothes. We're the first ones. We're the first ones on the scene every time. We're the first responders. Now it's about time that people take a little bit of advice from a movie where a grasshopper is saying, well, we got to go back and get this ant, because if his message starts to resonate amongst all them doggone other ants, they outnumber us 100-1, and our way of life has changed. Ants aren't no longer bringing the grasshoppers portions of their food. And that's what you do on a regular basis. Every bit of money that you go out and earn to try to take care of your family, a large portion of that has to go to the state, has to go to the government. And you're getting taxed twice. And then when you buy stuff, you're getting taxed. And then when you buy your own property, you finally think you own your own property, you're still getting taxed. And then when you die, you're getting taxed again. So your kid's inheritance is either going to be ate up for medical bills from you having to go to the doctor when you get old because you can't afford health care, or health insurance, and at certain points the health insurance even shut you down because you're no longer considered insurable because you already have health problems. So the system's screwed up, and it's skewed in the favor of those in charge of the almighty dollar. The only thing that's ever going to resolve this issue is when you decide that a message is worthy of reaching the top and you push it there. If a million people push a message in any direction, it sends out a big wave. And that big wave of positivity or solutions or hope for the world is what is needed for people to not feel like that they're not important. And for people to not feel like they're helpless or hopeless or any of the other negative terminology that you can come up with. Here to the ShazoozRadio.com and People for People Radio and TCT Network and all the other affiliated networks, anybody podcasting or rebroadcasting, sharing the message out there, That's how we get it done. You got a social media network with Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and hey, I don't care if you send my words to Facebook and the CIA and all the alphabet soups hear what I have to say, because I'd say it to their face if they had the gall to stand in front of me and allow me to say it. But they don't. The President of the United States, Patty, read those words out that I wrote to the President. Try to find a flaw in what I said. What did I say that wasn't worth listening to? It was all the things that they asked for us to resolve. We gotta solve climate change. We gotta save our planet. We gotta save this. We gotta save the children. Everything that I talked about was all of us coming together to bring our resources, our talents, our gifts, and everything. Bring it all to bear like a military down on the doggone country that can't even fend for themselves anymore because you done blew them up a year ago. We're talking about, instead of focusing all of our resources on destruction, focusing our resources on what they should have been to begin with. To put food in the hungry person's belly. Put a roof over the homeless person's head. To put the medicine in the hands of those who need it. And to stop making them sick to begin with. Hold our medical facilities accountable. Hold our media accountable. Every single one of the, as far as I'm concerned, every single one of the existing mainstream media outlets should be banned. They should be flat out shut down because they're not doing any good. They're lying to people all the time. They're propagandizing. You could take at least 4 to 5 of these outlets and you can jump from one channel to the next and they're all saying the same thing and every bit of it's lies. Then you go to the other one, they might tell a bit of the truth, but they're also telling a bit of the lie as well. And so, if you're the President of the United States and you're surrounded by all these advisors who's getting their information from these same media outlets and other people who are supposedly either in the deep state or not in the deep state, you might think that it is time to go to war. Hopefully that man's smart enough to see through all the propaganda and all the lies and the trickery. Hopefully he's the best chess player in the game, and hopefully he beats them at their own game. That's what I'm rooting for. But I'm not holding my breath on that. What I'm hoping for is that the average Joe, everybody hearing my voice right now, or even a year down the line stumbling onto a podcast and hearing us all talk about what we've talked about here today, I'm hoping that you will send that to somebody else who needs to hear the words that have been coming out of our mouths for not just today's show, but years prior. Because we're consistent here. We stay consistent. We continue on the message, even though we're up against the wall when it comes to censorship or, you know, trolls or crazy people or just, you know, even sometimes in our own circle, people trying to fight with us, trying to do something positive. You're either turning the light on or you're turning it off. There's no happy medium. That's it. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to turn the light on. That way, that darkness will recede and the roaches will scurry away into the darkness.
Well said.
So, you ladies got something you want to say before we get up out of here?
Well, I'll start, Barb. You know, if you're confused, if you find yourself in a point of being where you're not sure what's right, what you should be doing, look at it this way. Is what you're being asked to do, is it a benefit to every living being, or is it a detriment? If we look back through history, we see that our whole history has been based on war. Okay? When has war created peace? Has it ever created peace for us? No, it hasn't. So, therefore, it must be of no use to us. War must not be the answer then. So, if war is not the answer, then ask yourself, what is the answer? And to me, it's plain to see that the answer is to come together, to reach out in peace and in love, to create the solutions that we have. Nobody talks about solutions in the mainstream media. Nobody talks about solutions in the government. They only talk about more war, more subjugation, more usurpation, more racism, more hate. These are things that have no benefit to the people of this world. It has no benefit for you or me or our children or anyone. Pick a country, any country. Where is the suffering? The suffering is in the people. Why is there suffering? Because there are governments who decree that some of us must suffer so that the others may benefit. This is not the world we need to be in. This is not the world that we need to create. So when you're confused by what is coming across the mainstream media, when you are confused by what your government is doing, is it necessary? Do we need to do this? Think. Seriously think. And look within yourself and say, can I create peace through hate? Can I create justice through lies? Can I create abundance through theft? And if you answer no to each one of those, then you have your answer. And that would be that the answer lies within you, not your government, not your mainstream media. You have to step up, and you have to reach out, and you have to speak your truth. You have to bring the people together. And if hate is in your heart, and anger is in your heart, and bias is in your heart, then you need to check yourself. And you need to step back. And you need to think, what am I doing to bring peace if I'm spending all my time pointing at the other guy and saying it's your fault? We can't create a life of benefit for all while we're so busy making war against all. It starts with us, and it will end with us, one way or the other. But we have the ability right now, in this time, in this day, in this moment, to make that change, to look at life without the blinders on, to see it for what it is, to see the truth for what it is. Only we can do that. Only us. We're the only ones. It's time to come together. And I love each and every one of you. Thank you.
Very well spoken. Oh. You know, the government's basically solution to kids getting shot in, whether they did or didn't, don't know. That's another conspiracy. But nonetheless, hypothetically, or whatever, maybe reality, but the government's solution was to give all the kids clear backpacks. All right? And the schools these days have buzzers where you got to buzz to get in. They have heavy-duty glass on the doors. You got cameras in every doggone direction. But this is still where the so-called criminals choose to attack, to terrorize the world into giving up their weapons. So if you're not even safe in a building like that, how's a camera going to make you safe anywhere else? If they're constantly watching you, and every time something happens, every time some sort of episode, it's you that they persecute. It's you that wears the clear backpack. It's each and every one of you that loses your rights and freedom. Thomas Jefferson said that those who would willingly give up their freedom for a bit of security deserve neither. And he also said that the price to freedom was eternal vigilance, which means you got to keep your eye on it. And I think it was doggone Benjamin Franklin that said when he came up out there, they asked him what kind of government we got. And he said, well, we gave you a republic if you can keep it. Nowadays, they call us a democracy. And they don't understand we've never been a democracy here in the United States. But nonetheless, even if your elected officials don't recognize the original setup of the government itself, and that they're not supposed to be all powerful, which they ended up being and are getting stronger by the day, that's only because we the people allow it, plain and simple. And it's going to take you, the average Joe, to raise your voice now. So, with that said, Barbara, you got any words of wisdom?
Well, I don't know if they're words of wisdom, but I just want to thank everyone for being here today. I always enjoy being on your show, and, you know, I just feel that, personally, no matter what is going on around me and what I see happening, and sometimes it's pretty difficult and stunning, and I just have to answer for myself, you know. I have to know that I am responsible for what I choose to, how I choose to speak, how I choose to live or walk my life here on this medicine wheel, you know. Either I'm walking in beauty or I'm not, you know. Either I'm in love and loving or I'm not, you know.
Yep.
Either I'm coming from my heart spirit when I see you or speak to you or speak about others or am present here on the show or in my life, you know. Either I'm doing that or I'm not, you know. I must take responsibility for what legacy I will leave here, what imprint I am going to make upon this sacred web of life and for the coming generations. I must keep in mind, I think, always what the... that there's someone coming up, you know, following me, and what am I going to imprint in the ethers here? What do I want to send out into the ethers, the sacred web of life, because we are all related. We keep saying that, you know, but come along with those words, we are all related, Matakuyeo Yasin. That means energetically, you know, those words energetically meaning we are all beings of energy, of frequencies. Our words are powerful. Our thoughts are powerful. Our emotions are powerful. Every act that we determine has an energy, a frequency that emanates out from us, that source. So these things I try to keep in mind, you know. So if I get... you know, disrupted or off track or frustrated or angry or perhaps even being led by some report, whatever, that drags me in, I must keep in mind I am responsible. I am the one that is responsible for what I leave, the legacy that I leave here. Because when I'm gone, there will be pieces of me left. My words will be left. Someone will remember my words. Someone will have received my behaviors. You know, someone will remember something, and I will, you know, have left here. With every one of us, it's going to be that way. Someone will remember something you said, something you did.
Yep.
And that will be passed on energetically. So it will affect everything. I'm affecting everything. I'm affecting the trees outside my window here because I'm that connected to them. I affect everything, the Mother Earth, even the waters and the water people, because we are that connected. So I'm responsible. I have to question myself, what are my words leaving here on this planet into the ethers on the medicine wheel of life and the web? You know, that's what I'm talking about. So yes, I'm a researcher. Yes, we go down rabbit holes. I want to know the truth. I think we need to know the truth so that we can better be in a spiritual battle without anger, without judgments, you know, without being snarky. Yep. The spiritual battle to me is the light. And I want to grow my light powerful from my heart spirit with love and compassion, not the opposite of that, because that is not a spiritual battle. So I will not fall into that battle that is the, you know, the mainstream media or those who are striving to harm, do grave harm, who leave that legacy upon the earth and the web of life. So what I carry, the light in my heart, the words, the love that I have, I say to Creator, let it be powerful. Let it be aligned with the goodness and the love, unconditional love and compassion the Great Spirit, Mother, Father has for this beautiful, sacred creation. I want to align myself with that frequency, and that is my responsibility. Nobody else's. That's my responsibility. So I just, you know, I want to say that because I feel this is really an amazing time that we are living in. We have this opportunity, really, to make a difference. And the only difference that I want to make is a positive one. I want to uplift this frequency, this energy for the Mother Earth that I love so much and all of creation, including you people out there, right? So I want to choose that. I have free will given to me, and I can determine what I want to manifest and create or not, a good way or not. So there we are again at the crossroads. Choose either the dark or the light. It's your responsibility because you will leave a legacy here. And just because you're physically gone doesn't mean that you are done. Someone will remember you. Someone will speak about what you spoke about. Someone will share what you taught. Someone. And that's what we have to be careful of, because our children, our grandchildren, they are coming forward here, and I just say, what do I want to leave? What legacy do I choose to leave? So that's all I want to say. Ho, Matakuyo Yasin, Doksha.
Once again.
Excellent, sister. Thanks.
Awesome words of wisdom as far as I'm concerned, folks. You want to know how powerful the light is? I know my path through my house because I've lived here a long time. One day I took a journey from my room to the facilities in the other room, and somebody thought it'd be a good idea to reach over and hit the light switch. Well, everything went black, my toe slammed into the coffee table, and I said some really choice words, so the disappearance of that light made a huge difference in that moment. Yeah, it was uncomfortable, unpleasant to say the least. But nonetheless, that means you got a choice. Reach up there and hit that light switch, turn the light off, or turn it on. And you might make the difference in somebody else's world, such as me slamming my toe right directly into the coffee table as I tried to traverse my path that I normally take. And it takes a minute before your eyes focus in the dark. So, you know, it wasn't like I was ready to hit the coffee table, but that's what happened. True story. But either way, that shows you got a lot of power. Turn your light on or turn it off. Your choice. Spread this message or don't. Your choice. Once again, you want to make the world a better place, then you got to raise your voice when it's time. If you can sing like an angel, now would be the time to stand up and do just that. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you share this message. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the bat in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm
have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Terrible. Always looking Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.